Podtacular episode 237. They're just missing in action for October 13th, 2010. I am Dustorm, and we're back again with Brent, Keith, CM Near, and Midget Dance to finish the campaign discussion about Halo Reach. Welcome back, guys. It's been a week, right?
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Great to be back.
Should this really be like 23 or 237.5 or something?
Well, the last one was 236.
Or 237A. Well, that would be 237A. This would be 237B.
Well, the last one was 236, so...
We need to have, like, a bureaucracy for a podcast. Like, you have to fill out a form every time you go to record, like, non-disclosure agreements. That way, Keith can't tell everybody what's going to be on the podcast, like, a week beforehand.
Well, we kind of already tell everyone what's going to be on the next...
Super important stuff. We got to keep it secret here, Dustin.
Super secret? Okay.
I get excited.
Dude, you should use code words. Like, instead of Halo, you say Call of Duty.
Yeah.
No, that's a bad code word. Not using that.
Sonic the Hedgehog. We played a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog last week.
I heard everyone dies at the end of Sonic the Hedgehog.
How many credits did you get in Sonic the Hedgehog last week, Dustin?
I probably got about, I don't know, 10,000.
No, more than 20,000, I would say.
Maybe 10,000, 15,000 rings.
Oh, yeah.
About that much. Right.
Right.
What about you guys?
That Robotnik, huh?
Oh, you mean the Robotnik?
Yeah. Do I hear a train?
You mean Robotnik's not dead?
No.
He keeps coming back game
after
game?
It changed his name, though, or something. Oh. Well, it's
his
weird.
Name isn't Robotnik now?
Like, it was Robotnik in the English translation of the game. Like, in the North American localization and stuff, it was Robotnik. But in Japan, it was always Eggman. So they always knew him as Dr. Eggman. But nowadays, in, like, the new Sonic games, they still call him Dr. Eggman instead of Robotnik, and it messes up, like, North American gamers all the time.
Yeah, what the hell? That's not cool.
It's stupid. Robotnik's such a cooler name.
Why don't we just call Sonic?
Sonic-san. Sonic-chan. Ooh, Sonic-su.
I am the Eggman.
Super kawaii.
I am the walrus.
I am Eggman.
We should start this playing I Am Walrus.
Isn't this a Halo podcast?
Well, you know, didn't they just release Sonic Hedgehog 4, right? Ooh.
We're like 1 minute in and we've gone horribly off topic.
Yeah, that typically happens.
Oh, man, get it out of the way now.
We've been podcasting for 5 days.
Just trying to get it out.
It's been more than 5 days.
It's on Halo.
Hasn't it? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we recorded a week ago.
Oh.
Yeah. In that time, I have watched 2.5 seasons of Venture Brothers. So.
Oh, wow.
I love Venture Brothers.
I had to catch up, so I just started the series from the beginning.
Go, Team Venture!
Ignore me!
You are a baby! Ignore me!
Somebody's baby!
Went back in time, saved him. Or not time, through space.
Yes.
Alternate dimension.
So, this is game out. It's called Halo Reach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that pretty cool?
September 13th, 14th, around that time?
Yeah, that was like, what, 2 weeks ago? Three?
Yeah.
It was a month ago.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, we're watching Venture Brothers waiting for it to come out.
Yeah.
Just trying to get back. You know.
But wait, it's already out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people have been playing it for a whole month.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Venture Brothers. Venture Brothers.
Wait. Stop talking about Halo Reach. We got to talk about Conan O'Brien. Let me bring that up and derail
the show. Is he back? When's he coming back?
Oh, November. Here.
Yeah. I like those commercials they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the stripper one?
Yeah.
I love that one.
One with he washes the desk?
No, yeah. the stripper one where he makes the stripper do the thingy, do the string dance.
Oh. Oh, really?
I have no clue what you guys
I've never seen that. I know the string dance.
No clue.
Television sure is interesting, guys.
One thing I watch on television is Daily Show and Colbert Report, and occasionally The Weather.
Pretty good shows.
Indeed. In fact, The Daily Show is on right now.
All right, let's stop recording.
No, we're here. We're doing it now.
We have to finish this within an hour. In an hour, South Park comes on.
You set your DVR. You'll be fine.
I got to get my daily challenges. I got to fit them in.
Oh,
you've got 7 hours to do those.
Really?
Yeah, it's West Coast time, right?
That's a lot of time.
So I think that's another reason why it took us several days for us to do this, because everybody's playing Reach to get those daily challenges.
Yeah.
Can't stop. It's like crack. It's like,
I don't know. Some of them I don't even go for. If it takes me more than an hour to get the daily challenges, I don't do them all.
If it sounds like too much work, I don't do it. Right. Like, if the reward is not big enough to match, you know, the criteria, I don't do it.
Right.
Like, a lot of the campaign stuff I don't do. Like, finish, you know, legendary mission with all skulls on and don't die once. And, like, drive the warthog around for at least 5 minutes or, like, something weird and you get, like, 500 credits for it. I'm like, no thanks. I'm just going to move on and do these multiplayer challenges.
Do you notice that the multiplayer challenges are always more money?
Oh, yeah.
They seem to be.
I don't know. There's been a few campaign ones that have been up there.
Well, yeah.
They've been up there, but they seem to be more difficult ones. But some of them just seem like more of the ones that are even a pain in the ass. They don't actually give them a lot of credit, and more towards one that's easy in matchmaking, like kill 30 people today.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so thousand? Easy.
And yeah, then the like, 11 headshots, yeah. Just going to SWAT, or the 20 headshots.
Yeah, those I've like multiplayer ones are always easy actually.
Yeah. Well, I think the difference is that the multiplayer ones are usually cumulative. Like, right. Get 77 kills in a day. Well, I'm going to do that anyway. Like, I'm just going to keep playing until I get that challenge finished. But right. Then you have the campaign ones are usually like, or at least the high value ones are like, finish legendary with, you know, whatever skull on, thunderstorm or whatever.
Yeah, but see, I can finish one of those in the time it takes me to play 1.5 games to 2 games of multiplayer.
Well, some of those I can't. Like, some of them.
Most of them I can't.
Some of the legendary ones I can't do. Like, legendary, I did the campaign you just, on normal with Thunderstorm today.
But. You just pull up Winter Contingency with just about anything for Legendary in your set.
Yeah, but the problem is, if I die, I've got to start all over again on some of those campaigns.
But there's shortcuts everywhere on that level.
I know. I mean, you can skip past the entire first part of the game, basically. But,
they've been a couple of them specific levels, though. Some of these challenges.
Yeah.
All the specific level ones, though, have been normal or above. They haven't had a specific level.
They haven't
been
legendary, I don't think.
Although they had the one with Exodus jetpacking 10 kills twice now.
Yeah, that was weird.
Are they starting to recycle these now?
They got to get to a recycling point.
For a while now. Like Gunslinger, more than the handfuls, those always come up.
Yeah.
The firefight one, like get 150 firefight kills.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
They're going to get recycled. They might change the name of it, but the challenges are going to get recycled. We got daily challenges, you know? They're going to have to. You
can't come out with new ones every day.
That'd be a bit of work, I think.
It'd get old after a while.
Well, I think like, it would. You could probably get a little creative with it, like headshot 50 grunts in campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, there could be some stuff. You know what? There'd be maybe even a community suggested challenge forum.
After a while, that would get post old. That. Like... wear red shoes while playing. Email us picture. Running out of ideas.
Well, think 4 years from now. after a while, Bungie's gonna be like, all right, what are we gonna come up with now?
The murder challenge. A Bungie employee.
Like, yeah, it was like Bungie favorites. Remember Bungie favorites? Like eventually, they're like, we just can't. We can't think of any more. We gotta give this to the community.
Yeah.
That's what the challenges are gonna come.
Whatever they are,
has a list of all available challenges that they've done in the past, and you like pick 4 of these, and then 1 weekly challenge, and you're done for the week. Go home, like get us some bagels or something.
They're on an RSS feed, actually, the challenge.
Yeah,
so, in an RSS feed for them.
Yeah, so you can you can keep track of them.
That's what I'm saying. It's intern friendly. Yeah. It's ready to go.
Yeah. The API is going to be nice. I haven't messed around with it, but I have plans to utilize it extensively. The stats API?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It costs money, right?
No, well, you have to have Bungie Pro.
Oh, okay.
So, count
costs money.
Yeah, but I mean, for $10 a year.
Oh, it's not that's bad. Nothing. That's nothing.
No.
I mean, heck, I pay $50 a year for Xbox
Live. That's actually adds a ton of value to Bungie Pro.
Yeah.
Plus, you get that video thing. You get to stream your Halo clips.
Yeah. You only get 5 minutes.
If you're a machinima maker, you're like, what am I going to do with 5 minutes?
Yeah, you don't. If you're a machinima maker, you do not want to use that.
How did he do that? I'm so excited. He made that HMV hell using just that.
Yeah.
I think that service is not made for machinima makers. I mean, it's really just for people like me who, hey, I got this cool kill in a game and I want to show everybody on Twitter, so I'm just going to upload it to Bungie because it's fast and easy and I already paid for Pro, and then I'm going to, like, send it in a bit.ly link or something to my friends on Facebook, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not made for, like, massive cinematic productions.
Hold on.
There used to be something that you could use. But there was some website, GameBee, I think it was called.
Yeah.
Is that still around?
Yes, I think so.
That was pretty cool.
I know. We've been thinking about making our own little video capture service here on PodTech. We've thought about it. We haven't implemented it yet, though.
Would you do it with your capture card, or what?
Yeah.
How do they do it? Oh, man, that'd be a lot of work. That'd be a hassle.
Well, I mean, we're still debating about it. We'd do like an open beta kind of thing, and depending on what kind of flow, and I'm not the only one that's going to be doing it. We have a couple other people that would be willing to do it, and we would give them proceeds and stuff.
That'd be cool.
But yeah, we've been thinking about it, haven't really gone with anything yet. But we're here to talk about campaign, so let's get back on that track.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, the thing that we were doing a podcast on.
What didn't we talk about? Like, I don't think we talked about the story.
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked about a lot of the specific parts of the levels that we liked and didn't like, but we never got to the actual story behind Halo Reach, so I didn't know if you guys wanted to do that, or if you wanted to do the missions, or... Because depending on how long we talk, this could end up being a three-part show.
Well, hold on. It all depends on if we start talking about the story and we really fly off in a tangent, and it sometimes happens when we talk about...
Yeah, sometimes it does.
When we talk about science fiction.
Well, we can go ahead and get started talking about the campaign part, and we'll judge from there, depending on time, what we'll do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Let's do this.
So you start off as a Spartan... Spartan 3, and you are known as Noble 6, coming into a new Noble team, or filling a position.
Of Thom.
Of what?
Yes, Thom.
Thom was the guy before Noble 6, from the Deliver Hope trailer. He's the guy who died there.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Thom?
Yeah, that's his
name. Yeah, they actually gave him a backstory, too, a little bit, for that guy. I mean, it's a whole character with a history. Yep. I think it's on Halopedia, yeah.
Possibly. I haven't dug as much into this story as I have the other Halo games yet, because I've been busy with school. But, so, join the team, and then we're going off to Quinto Contingency is the first level. So.
Got to repair those communications things that went out.
Yeah. So. Have to talk to regular civilians. See what they're up to.
And how you doing? Kill them. You kill them and then you die.
Oh yeah, that was weird. I accidentally did that on accident once, and all of a sudden it was just like, you know, regular like kill screen. And it was like, you killed a civilian. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
That's the most fun part.
So what happens? Something comes on the screen and says you killed a civilian, and then what happens?
You die.
It's just like you died, and you start over at the checkpoint.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, isn't it like a crime to, you know, interfere with a Spartan during Winter Contingency, so shouldn't he, like,
die? Well, it wasn't Winter Contingency yet.
It's not declared until the end of the first level.
No, I mean, whenever I shot the guy. It was already declared.
On the first level. No.
No,
they didn't know that they were covenant yet.
No, what? I'm saying I got the game over screen from killing the civilian on Exodus.
Oh.
Winter Contingency.
Yeah. Oh, we're... Okay.
That's what I'm saying. He got in the way of my Spartan.
Yeah. But still, I mean...
That civilian shouldn't have even been there, man. He should have been off reach. He's going to die anyways. Come on.
As a design, or like a design decision, I think it should have just been like, we're going to take away 500 points if you're doing campaign scoring or whatever. Like something stupid. Like that. But it shouldn't take me out of the game because it was an accident. I didn't mean to hit the civilian.
And even if I did,
it should take me out of the game.
You paid $60 for the game. Some people buy the game, I'm not naming names, me, just to go around shooting civilians and betraying people. And I can't do that now.
Can you still shoot Marines and get away with it? Like, piss them off?
They go by GTA 4.
There weren't, civilians in any of the other games, though.
Yes, there were.
There were? Where?
In Halo 3, there was Traxxas employees.
Yeah, I remember those guys.
The engineers.
Oh, that's right. You could
on
kill
Crow's
them.
On Crow's Nest, there were a crap load of them.
Oh, yeah.
They but
really
they had
soldiers.
Weapons.
Oh, those are soldiers, those guys.
Well, yeah, those,
well, they're like, and they're not soldiers, they're engineers. They stand there and work on the computers and look weird.
Right. But they're enlisted, so. Well, the whole thing, in the other Halo games, if you killed a friendly, or say you even shot your fellow Marine in Halo 1, it'd take a couple of shots before they started turning against you.
Yeah.
You had to kill
and they would turn against you, and then after a while, they would just stop and go back to playing normal.
They still do that in Reach.
Do they?
Well, if you,
against your own.
Not if you shoot the Spartans, because they never die, but if you kill enough civilians, I've done this. They all turn against you and kill everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, on the first level, I kept killing civilians, and everyone's like, still kill the civilians! And then the Spartans killed us. So that still happens.
That's great.
Lol.
Oh, I can't wait for campaign matchmaking, so I can do that to people in matchmaking.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What a douche.
There's a glitch. I saw it where, if you run up against someone and rub against them, then you kill a civilian, it'll count as a betrayal. So you could use that in campaign matchmaking.
Wait, what?
You know, you walk up and you start rubbing against them. Yeah, you grind them, and then they're like, they kind of get into it, so you go kill a civilian, and then they get booted. You boot them.
Wow.
That is...
Wait, what?
Through the what now?
That sounds like bizarre. The worst night of drinking ever, like, against each other, and then we killed a civilian, like...
And then you got booted.
That's
dude, last night, you were so wasted.
Oh man, story of my life, right?
Told you not to grind that Spartan.
Wow.
So okay,
back
off
on
topic.
Back on topic with winter contingency.
Story. What is winter contingency?
It's a contingency plan for winter. When it gets real cold. You gotta have a contingency plan for everything, man. You know?
What?
Contingency when it gets real cold, Dustin.
No, I was.
You have like a snuggie.
I was wetting the Keith's little bebop, whatever.
Oh.
Oh, that was me.
I still, question still stands, so I need an answer.
Google.
What is what? Who the what now?
The what?
Winter contingency.
I think that is a. That's a game thing. I think that's something they came up with. That's just the name of their contingency plan.
No, I've heard.
Yeah, but it's in...
Reach gets screwed up, they go into winter contingency.
The winter contingency is if there's... Are you talking about like what it is in the Halo universe?
Yeah.
What kind of military tactic?
Real life. Like, is there a real winter contingency? Like, is that
a
thing?
Halopedia.
The winter contingency is when... The Covenant is first discovered on any colony. The military is supposed to respond in like a full out attack on the enemy to prevent to halt the invasion right away. It was part of the Cole Protocol or something like that. It's in line with that or made along with one of those. Something
well, it
like
worked
that.
Out great. Like, for real.
None of their plans worked out. Not even the Cold Protocol.
Not really. But I mean, they had to do it.
Oh, they got to
they
do something.
They had to take the Cold Protocol. I mean, Earth would have been invaded earlier if they hadn't.
Yeah, they did pretty good for that one for a while. It was just
right.
Just after a while,
Google is failing.
It's the winter contingency. Everybody freak out. Communication disruption can only mean one thing.
I forgot. What was the... which ship was the tracking device attached to that told the Covenant where Reach was?
The name of it?
Yeah. Wasn't it Key's ship?
Yes, they put it on Key's ship, but it wasn't. I don't know if it was the Pillar of Autumn.
It wasn't the Pillar of Autumn. I don't think it was
some other ship.
Yeah,
I think I'm not sure.
Was it the?
I think that was prior to him becoming a captain. Like he did the Key maneuver or whatever they called it, where he rubbed up against that Covenant ship. He grabbed up.
Oh yeah, and then he shot at civilian.
Gave him a promotion to captain because he was such a bad. But he had like that tracking device on his ship.
The Key's loop.
Yeah, the key loop.
God, I gotta stop.
But see, like, people don't know this stuff. This is what kind of bothers me about Halo lore. Like, in a lot of stuff, you can get the lore directly from, like, the main content. Like, you look at something like Metal Gear Solid, there aren't any, like, kind of books that go along with it that give you more into the story. Metal Gear Solid, you get the entire story in the game, and boy, do you get a lot of story, you know, with Metal Gear. But, like, with Halo, you get a little story, but then they put out these books that have this massive, like, amazing universe that I want to know more about, but I don't get it in the games as much. Like, the games have just, like, the most basic information about the universe, and then I have to take what I've learned from the books and stuff and just kind of patch it in with all that. Like, right. I don't really like that much. I kind of want it all to be one massive experience.
I only read the books by Eric Nyland. I didn't read the other one, so I don't know
what you're saying. Now they're saying they're going to, like, go back and retcon Fall of Reach to make it fit with, you know, the new game. Like, that. It's just stuff like that that bothers me a little bit.
I didn't think they were. I thought it was just a different cover. I didn't think they were rewriting it.
Like, retcon of, like, certain parts of the book to make it fall in line with Reach.
I don't like that. They said they're going to make some changes, I heard, but nothing that is major to fit the plot of Reach.
See, that's a cop-out, in my opinion.
I mean, even if it wasn't major, it's still like, well, they had to change stuff. Like, they couldn't even...
I know. I hate the changing myself.
I don't know. It's like I don't want to hate on Bungie's writing staff because they do a great job, obviously. But like, I would feel bad if I were Eric Nyland and they basically said, "Well, your story was pretty good. We're gonna make a game about it, but we're gonna change it up a bit because there were parts that sucked. Like, you know, we're gonna make it fit with our game." And I mean, I guess it is their universe to screw with, but when you hire someone to make an entire piece of lore like that, it's a massive piece of lore. I mean, Fall of Reach. It's not even arguable. It is the most important book in the Halo franchise of books.
Yeah.
And it had a game based on it.
It gave us all the Spartan backstory and everything.
That's the thing that got me into Halo. I didn't give a crap about Halo. Then I saw the books and they were cheap, so I picked them up and I read them. And then I got really excited for Halo 3 to come out because I actually cared about Master Chief. Mm. I didn't really care about him before.
Yep.
Like that, it made me relate to him more. Like, oh, I know who he is. I know his backstory. I know where he came from. I know that he's not just a robot man.
I know that I'm bitching about stuff that, you know, the normal public doesn't really care about, but
it just feels weird. It just feels weird. You know what? I feel like maybe it's just me and I'm getting old, but I used to get pissed off at this. I used to get pissed off about it, you know, like the change stuff or because I feel like you just when you thought you had it all figured out or you knew the story. And then they go and change it. And you're just like, I just got this down. I love this universe and it's everything is like, I'm well versed in it. And I feel like I know it. And then when they go change everything you knew and you like so much, then all of a sudden they go change it. And you're like, you feel cheated, but I'm trying not to care about that and just enjoy the coolness of the universe. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And the game was awesome. The game is awesome. The story I thought was awesome. Whether it fits or not anymore, I'm finding myself not caring anymore. Cause it was such an awesome story. Maybe that's the story it should have been. And it was a game and experience I was able to be immersive in. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think we play story games like this is to be immersed in it. So I thought that was done well.
With the books, I wish they would continue where they left off with Ghost of Onyx and have Eric Nyland write another one so I know what the hell happened. I don't know. Are they ever going
to
do that?
If it was up to Halo fans, Eric Nyland would be the busiest book writer on the, on the planet.
Yeah.
They left it on a cliffhanger for like 5 years. What's going on?
I think I would just like one writer because I feel like, you know, too many chefs you know, screw up the soup. I mean, Eric Nyland knows where he would go with the Halo franchise. He would have one single vision as opposed to multiple writers. Well, I want the Halo universe to go this way, you know, and I want it to go this way.
He was going
to
do. What if they do something and he's like, oh, I was going to do something else, but okay, I'll just change everything that I spent years working on.
Right. I see what you're saying. I don't think the changes bother me as much in the Halo franchise as much as it just feels like there's two different universes. I feel like there's like the book universe and then there's like the game universe. Like the book universe always has like these fictional like retcons and changes and all these different, you know, kind of focuses and where they want to go with their writing, because there's all sorts of different authors and stuff. And then there's the game universe, which is obviously just has one author, Bungie. And, I mean, they obviously know where they're going with their thing.
I feel like there's two universes, and there's the book and game universe, which is the book and game universe is the games and the books written by Eric Nyland. Then there's the other crap written by other authors. It's like, oh, you're not real.
Like, how do I take the Hell Legend stuff? Like, sometimes they'll say, like, this isn't canon, but we're going to do it anyway. Like, where do I put those in the Halo Anthology? I mean, if you're not going to make it canon, why put it out?
Why would I read that?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not going to be part of the Halo universe, is it just like a fun story? Like, here are some fun stories that aren't, you know, necessarily based on actual events that would have taken place in Halo.
Master Chief ate too many bananas.
just do these things, make them fit canonically, because you can do that. I mean, you can make these amazing stories like they do in, like, Halo Legends or even the graphic novel.
They and have make the Halo Bible.
Canonically, and just say, hey, this is canon too. You know, all these cool stories that we have, these are all happening in one contiguous Halo universe. And that's what I want.
Like,
I just want
it's
one
like laziness if they don't do that.
I think that's everybody's sci-fi dream, is to have their universes be canonical all the way through. But here's my old man speech again. I've given up on that. I've been disappointed too many times before with a lot of other series and stuff like that. That, you know, they're just.
But why can't there be someone that can stick to it and be true to something like that? I mean,
I don't know.
I don't necessarily like all this compromise stuff that's going on.
There's so much money involved, and there's so much cooks now. Like,
if you don't
and that's another thing too. It's gonna just get worse. So
they're planning. Some company came out and said Microsoft is already planning
two more trilogies. Yeah.
And a movie, but oh my god.
Sometimes Microsoft, it's hard to chew, you know, knowing that. This isn't really a fan franchise. It's a moneymaker, you know.
This
is where Microsoft rakes in the bucks.
Have ended with Reach. It can't feel the same if Bungie isn't behind it. It's not going to be the same at all.
Unless it's a completely different genre.
Here's what I'm saying.
I guess.
Aside from FPS.
We are in the minority because we enjoy sci-fi stories and stuff. You know, we enjoy the canon of Halo. I think it would be reasonable to say that at least 90% of the people that play Halo do not give a f*** about the story. I mean, they might care a little bit, but they don't care like we do. They're just in it for multiplayer.
And when you say the 90%,
I like multiplayer too. That's why I keep playing Halo.
Yeah. I mean, but the 90% is,
as long as they get their multiplayer fixed, they'll keep buying it, I think.
And
now, if 343 Industries messes up multiplayer and, like, screws it over to the point of no return, I think that that's when the Halo franchise starts dying.
Yeah.
But if multiplayer is great, I think that the story can just, you know, completely suck and nobody's going to care. They'll keep buying it anyway, and it'll always be Microsoft's moneymaker.
It'll get worse reviews on game review sites, but everyone will still buy it as long as the multiplayer is good, yeah.
I agree with that. It depends for me.
But I'm not talking about you, Dustin. I understand, but we're very critical people. Like, we care about that stuff. I'm talking about general, you know, 420's here. Time to pwn some noobs and smoke some weed, you know, fellas.
Don't you mean 420's here? Time to pwn some noobs and smoke some weed. Am I cool now?
They don't have cool? Well, some of them might. I don't know.
I hate when you see that, and then it's the voice comes through, and it's like, hey, everybody, how you doing? It's like, really? That's your gamer tag? 420 bang some hoes?
Wow.
$8 says that's actually
that one
bacon.
Can go through.
I'm going to look right now.
I bet I take it. What do you bet?
420 bang some hoes up in the house.
Be awesome.
Wow, man.
No capitalization whatsoever. Just 420 pwn some hoes.
I don't know. I did kind of find it sad when Microsoft basically just took Halo completely out of Bungie's hands. I think Halo should have lived and died with Bungie. Like you said earlier, Brent.
It totally should have died with Halo Reach. Halo Reach is the perfect ending to the Halo universe, and The only way I'd want it to go on is with the books, with Eric and Ireland writing.
Yeah, I would say so.
And continuing possibly his a movie, story though. That started.
If they movie, did the yes. movie, if they did a movie and they did it right, it could be phenomenal.
If
but they
did
have to
Fall
do it
Reach,
right.
Fall of Reach, the Halo movie, just Fall of Reach, the book, turn into a movie, that would be awesome.
But see, they already have the game.
Well, it's...
I could see something...
the storyline of the book, I think that would sell more. Especially now that the game is so popular, I guess. I mean, it's called Fall of Reach. Everyone knows Reach is going to fall.
Here's a conundrum I've come to, though, in, like, regards to the movie. Like I was saying earlier, I think, like, I don't know, but I mean, the large percentage of Halo players don't care about the story, right? So, would they go to the Halo movie?
I think so.
Well, have you seen the news this week about Steven Spielberg?
I'm not talking about the quality of the movie. I'm saying, would people go see it?
I would.
Would the people that play Halo... us excluded. People like us excluded. Hardcore right. canonical fans excluded. Would a lot of people go see this movie?
I think a lot of people
would. I
would
say yes because of the name brand.
Yes. It would like carry it? Okay. So fast. Everyone would know about this movie.
They go to see it. What do they think about it?
It depends on how good
the movie is. It depends on how good the movie is.
If they make it well, it could be like Avatar where it blows up.
Here's what I think would happen.
I still haven't seen.
A lot of explosions and like the main... kind of fan base would love it. Like the 420 guys would be like, yeah, explosion shit. I think if you get a lot of like story, kind of like the books style of writing, you're gonna get a lot of people that are gonna be like, what the is this shit? Like, who is Dr. Halsey? Like, was that gray haired chick from the, like, is she dead? Like, what happened?
Protocols and science. This is fun.
What the is what? Keys loop? What?
I got like, key loop in my pocket. What the
Easy I mean, on the language, guys.
What the 420?
What the 420?
There we go.
I just recorded about 10 of them in a minute.
Just cut that all out.
10 yeah,
that, just cut it all out. We really weren't talking about anything important.
We're talking about mainstream Halo fans, so it's not important. We should start talking about the Reach story, you know?
We should. Let's talk about the Reach story.
So Winter Contingency. You activate comm relay. Get back in touch with command, and you figure out the Covenant's on Reach.
Yep, and then you go turn on the generator thing, comm relay.
Yep.
You kill an elite but two of them.
You actually don't. You don't actually turn it on fully, though. It only turns on enough to talk to the colonel.
Yeah.
Well, it turns on enough to. It's still an unsecure connection, but it's something.
Yeah, but they're not the that part of the Reach is the communications are only to that area. They're really not. That's why the invasion was not well known.
Right.
The communications was a major problem.
Yeah, and they thought it was all rebels at first, and then they figured out it was Covenant.
I mean, no. I keep imagining Kat as Borat because of her voice.
What?
I keep imagining Kat as Borat, like saying the things Borat said.
Oh, I was thinking of Borak.
Because of her voice.
I was about to say Borak. Like,
all right, I hack a system. Hold off enemies, please. I like
Hold
you.
Hold them off for me.
Now I'm looking a different way.
You'll never be able to play campaign again without getting cat like that.
That's nice. Wow. You just ruined it for all our listeners, too. All
five. Say,
it's nice.
Cohen as cat.
That would be hilarious.
Pretty great.
I see you looking at my butt. I like it.
Nice.
So, comm relay's up, and that's the first mission, pretty much. Not too much story behind it. Next one is ONI Sword Base, where you're fighting through more Covenant to activate another comm array and activate an anti-air gun.
Yep. So, you can do that in any order, right?
Yeah, you could either.
That was the point of that mission, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one way or the other way.
I always turn the gun on first. I don't think I've ever turned the comm relay on first.
I always go to the comm relay first.
I've turned the comm relay on a few times first, but I typically go towards the gun.
Yeah.
But I still haven't done the Reach Racer part yet on that map.
Oh, yeah. We gotta film that yet.
Yeah. We should do that at some point.
So you should explain that to the people that don't know what Reach Racer
is. Okay, so Reach Racer is a little thing Bungie implemented into ONI Sword Base, the campaign level. And they have two switches, basically they're invisible switches, placed on either side of the map where the on the way to either the Comrade or the anti-air battery. And Rooster Teeth has a good video on this for the time being. But if you you have to have at least two people, and I think it has to be at least heroic. I'm not sure on the difficulty, but if you have two people activate these two switches at the same time, it goes into this game mode. It's Reach Racer, and it's basically race. You're racing around this loop where the comm relay and the anti-air battery is. Now, the enemies don't get all taken off, but you can basically race this thing over and over and over again, however many times you want. And I think to get out of it, you basically just revert to checkpoint.
Yeah.
It's really cool, though. I love racing. Racing is, like, my favorite thing to do on Halo.
Yeah, we can tell.
What? Nah, man.
But it was a nice little Easter egg that they put in there.
They did really good on the Easter eggs.
They did, especially that last one, which I haven't seen in person.
Which one?
The one on the second to last level.
Oh, the tribute room?
Yeah, the tribute room.
I'll have to show you that, man. I have to do it with you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Will. But we haven't gotten there yet, so back to Oni Sword Base, where you get to have your first encounter with hunters, and you get to take out a bunch of banshees with rockets. And you have the target locator.
Oh yeah, target locator. I always save that until the very end of the mission
to take out the dropship. That you can actually use the two rounds in the target locator, and if you keep it and bring it all the way back around, yeah, it recharges back to two.
Yep.
Yep.
How long does it take to recharge that thing? I can never figure that out. It's like forever.
It's whenever you get back to the gate.
Yeah.
You get back to the checkpoint of that gate, then it recharges to two. No. Yeah, I take that back. It's just the area. You don't have to get to the gate, but the area where all the...
After you do the two things.
Yeah, after you get turret, after you do those, it recharges back to two. So you can use your two rounds. So you can like do one to get both the race, and then you can do another one to shoot off whatever other enemies or ghosts you want to. And then you can save it for later. Like some people have suggested luring out the hunters and shooting them with that. But
oh, yeah, I've done that once. I did it once. But it's tough getting those hunters to come out. Like, it
I don't takes know. Forever. I just take a warthog and up there and I shoot them.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
Yeah.
Where do you get the warthog?
This is also the map where you... can you still do that exploit with the target locator? I guess you can. I guess I couldn't take that out. But you'll get reset. So basically, at the beginning of the map, you just run past all the enemies and you get to the target locator. You turn around and you just target locate all those enemies and they get blown out. And you get like about, 2,000 credits every time you do that?
And then you just restart.
Not to mention commendations, so.
Well, maybe that should be allowed.
Yeah, you get credits for killing all those. I think you get like, I did it once just to see what it would be like. It's kind of like a gateway drug for me, but I never did it again.
Oh, you're going to get credit.
I got to know what it feels like.
Bungie's going to kill all this.
And it wasn't for the credits. I just wanted to see all those enemies die, because there really are a lot of enemies when you turn that target locator off.
That's the kind of thing where it's kind of like they messed up, so maybe they should just not punish people who did it, but fix it.
Well, but then you have that whole system breakdown, you know. You can't have that happen.
So. Well, I mean, fix it and then...
You can't fix something like that post-production, though.
I mean, that's a gameplay thing. Like, what are you going to do? Like, oh, you can't target locate those enemies. Like,
yeah, man.
Does it block your reticule out or something?
That'd I mean, cool. So you get as many credits if you just kill them one at a time?
You would have to patch the map.
Yeah.
And patching the map would include basically re-downloading the whole map.
Yeah.
Too much cost.
Man, that sucks.
Well, you know. Oh, every game has an exploit.
Just don't do it.
And it's not like it's instant, though. You gotta spend some time doing it if you really wanted to boost up. You know?
Well, I mean, that one exploit, I mean, it's right at the beginning of the level on Oni Sword Base.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't take that long, and then you just revert to last checkpoint or whatever.
Yeah. I'm surprised that wasn't found in, like, a beta or something.
Or internal testing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with any game this big, exploits are going to be found like that. I mean, you have that many people playing a single game over and over and over again. They're going to find something. I'm surprised they haven't found bigger exploits. This is kind of like small compared to other exploits that have been found in other games.
I'm sure Bungie took their time with this.
Oh, yeah.
I would have to say that this, out of all the games, this one, I've seen the least amount of, I feel like they polished this game up better than any other game.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
All the rest of them. Definitely more polish on this. As far as, I mean, remember Halo 3 had right now that the melee problem in the beginning?
Everyone like die. You'd melee someone and both people would die or something. Was that
yes,
it?
It's, yes.
No, that was, well, that was added afterwards.
Yeah, no, but you would, well, they fixed it that, it said they had the melee right, but what the problem was, the way it appeared on screen to you wasn't right. It looks like you beat him to the punch, but they hit you back and then you're dead. But meanwhile, they're saying that was actually a tie, but it looks like you got beat down first.
Yeah, so they widened it and actually made a tie part.
Yes.
Because there wasn't a double melee originally in the game. You couldn't double melee.
Right.
Unless the game happened to say you meleeed at exactly the right time and that happened.
Yeah. Well, now that happens all the time. Yeah.
That was so annoying in Griffball when that was going on before they fixed it.
Yep.
I love Griffball.
Griffball. Oh my god. They actually have a voice for it too, which is pretty cool.
It goes Griffball.
Yeah, Griffball.
That is cool.
Griffball.
Griffball.
Nice. Griffball.
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 I'm saying Griffball. So, I guess.
Griffball!
Is there much story behind that? The ONI sword base?
Oh.
So, well, the Corvette that was above sword base attacking it, they drove it off.
Yeah, with the long swords.
Yeah.
And then the Mac round.
Yeah, Halsey at you for a little while.
And Halsey's speech to them is. It's classic.
Yeah.
I love it when Carter told her off. I was like, "Hell yeah."
Yes.
She's like, I could get you arrested. He's like, well, you know maybe. Civilians can't f*** Spartans during winter contingency. Maybe I'll lock you up. She's like, whatever.
You threatened me.
I have your kill switch.
Meanwhile, the whole time, though, knowing, you know, the Bungie story, I mean, the Halo story, you're like, dude, is he really talking to Halsey that way?
No.
Like, you know who Halsey is?
I mean,
he said
are you threatening me? And he says, nope, I forget what he says exactly, but it's like basically
just making the point.
I'm just telling the facts, dude. I'm just saying how it is.
Well, but he kinda
don't
bitched,
fuck with me.
He kinda slapped her. He kinda gave her a slap with that. That's what that was for. You know, he talked back.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just him being an asshole. She was she was like, well, I mean, you stole this from me. She was being a cat.
Oh yeah.
And he was just like, screw you, cat's my teammate. Like, suck.
Well, they have no ties to Halsey at all, so they're like,
well, George did.
Only George. Yeah.
Jorge.
But she didn't have to be such a
huggy bear.
Pain in the butt.
Well, you know, she's in a major panic. She knows so much about what's out there with these artifacts and what the Covenant's doing.
Right.
She's like, I ain't got time to mess around.
She understood the threat better than anyone.
Yeah.
Really.
So she's like, you know, we're about to be extinct. I'm not messing with you. You stay out of her way.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, she's got kind of a grudge against Spartan 3s anyway.
Yes.
Just because they're
commissioned
like
by Ackerson. And you know how much he loves Ackerson.
Yeah, Ackerson versus Halsey. That's the next game. Gonna be a fight.
Ackerson versus Halsey.
Yeah.
It's just two old people
fighting.
Like
Kenny versus Spinny, like.
Yeah.
Fight.
Fight.
Pull out your cane.
Fight.
Fatality. Fatality. No, and this one would be Kiltality or something.
Kiltality.
Count your gray hairs. Who has more gray hairs?
Halsey wins. You know what? The Halo movie. Whoever plays Halsey, that'll make a good movie. If it's a good
Ben White.
Yeah.
I love that.
Make it, you know what? Make Halsey the, who's that girl from Glee? What's her name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. The kind of butch lady?
Yes.
The cheerleading coach or whatever? Yeah,
yes.
That lady. I know who you're talking about. But I forget
her name.
That's
Halsey. Some wise, like, mess up.
Yeah.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Good.
You'll know her.
40-year-old virgin.
If you saw her, you'd know her.
Yeah, 40-year-old virgin. Yep.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen Glee. So.
Yep. What?
So I've seen her in other stuff too.
She's been in a ton of stuff lately.
She's never had like a massive role, but she's always done like really cool supporting roles.
She was in
Jane Lynch.
Role models.
Jane Lynch. Yeah.
That's her name. Yeah.
A lot of people have the last name Lynch. That's a bad last name.
Merrill Lynch, but that's a team.
Dr. Catherine Halsey, Jane Lynch.
Okay, so we want to move on to...
And does he say ma'am or mom?
Mom.
It's ma'am.
It sounds like mom, though.
It does, but... Yeah.
Mommy!
And did you guys see the legendary commentary?
No.
Bungie legendary commentary? What do you get with the...
I didn't get the legendary edition.
I didn't get the legendary
edition. It's on YouTube somewhere, too. I think you could just
Chris
see it.
Chris got it. Chris didn't tell me anything about this. Go on.
They did Halo 3, I think, too. Well, no,
It was a weird way to access it. It's not on a disc. It's only in Waypoint. And if you got Legendary Edition and you download the Legendary codes, it opens up a special video or a Legendary video in Waypoint.
Huh.
But somebody recorded it, and it's on YouTube, I thought, somewhere. I didn't even...
I kind of figured it would be on YouTube sometime, and I was going to watch it.
It's probably gotten taken down already, though.
Yeah.
I'd say it's chock full of information, actually. It's pretty.
So that's the legendary playthrough with, who's it, Marty O'Donnell?
Marty O'Donnell,
was Joseph Staten on there?
Joe Tung, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was just two guys, so probably just...
Is this it?
Now, I remember they did a similar thing like that for Halo 1 with 03 Legendary Edition. But they did a legendary run-through of... I don't think it was legendary. I think it was just a run-through, but they also did commentary for
Halo. That's not...
This is it. No, this is it. The one that Ninja Dan sent.
The one that I linked is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
All right.
It's with Marcus...
Leto.
Marcus Leto, which I tried to...
Joe Staten, no, or...
Not Joe Staten, what's his name?
I'm blanking.
Mario O'Donnell, Marcus Leto.
A one guy.
Staten. I'm not Staten.
Staten. Hey, has Chris talked at all this entire podcast? Same Chris?
Thing. Is it Luke Smith? Did he do it?
No.
Okay, good.
I'll have to watch that after we're done recording.
It's actually got a lot of good stuff, and the one thing that stands out, Marty asks, I think it's Marcus, or the rest of the team, they just said that does this interfere with any of the canon? And they all said no.
Yeah, like they tried to explain it pretty well. I don't really see any issues between this and the canon after I heard about what was in the Halsey journal.
Yes.
And I'm sure if you did have any issues, you could ask them, and they would have a way to explain it.
But I think they should explain that stuff in the game. I shouldn't have to go looking for it in like some obscure book that came with my limited edition.
True.
Like, I didn't get
it. I mean,
but people that are really into the story, though, that's going to be you're going to look into it, and that'll suffice. A lot of other people
like the Fall of Reach, just to so you'd know kind of what was going on in the story.
Yeah,
and you thread it right, so you've got a good memory of everything that's going on, and then you have all this stuff that isn't explained in the game. It's like messing with canon, kind of.
Okay, but this is going back to your scenario of people that play Halo for the story versus people that just play Halo for the multiplayer.
But you got to realize there's an overlap too. There's a middle area. There's an area where there's people.
Yeah, but how big is that comparatively to the people that just play Halo because it's Halo?
I know, but how bad is it screwing with them that they didn't, you know what was going on when they saw Cortana? Like, they didn't know she was a Splinter. So, like, I wish they would have just explained it. I'm not saying that's a big, like, deal breaker for me. Like, they didn't explain why Cortana was on Reach. I'm never buying another Bungie game ever again. It's just something I would have enjoyed to learn about in the game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
They should have at least, or they should in the future, sell the Halsey Journal or something. Like, maybe as a book or something.
I'm sure it'll be transcribed and posted on the internet at some point.
Yeah, if it hasn't, for it now, damn it.
If it hasn't been already.
HBO probably already has it, so.
Who knows?
I mean, you remember back when they did magazine scans when Halo 3 was about to come out? I can't remember. It was EGM or something. And didn't have a whole lot of information on Halo 3. So when
Wasn't
that came
out. Was it 1UP 2?
They,
I thought 1UP had some stuff too back then.
Yeah, but EGM was 1UP back then. They were the same entity. EGM was the magazine that 1UP.com was based on.
Right.
Went under when Ziff Davis Media went under.
That's right.
One up, but they had to get rid of EGM because it cost too much money. And now EGM's back, but with a new owner. So, weird stuff.
I think what Brent, what you're trying to say is with explaining it in the game, when they can easily tell the same story, but I don't know, drop little things in between that we know as Halo fans that mean something to us. Tell that it should be in the game and not have us to go outside. You don't have to necessarily put this whole explaining a backstory in there, but at least put little, maybe a line in here or there that we that has meaning to people who know the story.
I guess I just feel like it would be more meaningful if I learned about it in the game as opposed to outside of the game in like a book or something. Because
maybe if they showed a quick scene of it or something, maybe they show something off camera a little bit and they turn to it and show something that would like say something about the splinter. Like maybe you'd see on a screen it say like Cortana's 1/10 of Cortana or something. You know what I mean?
There are ways to subtly drop little stories. Right. People have been doing it for years.
Right.
Intrigue has always been a big deal in story writing.
Right. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like that's what I would prefer. I don't know. I know they can't always explain a lot of stuff in a movie. I mean, in a movie and a game, because of time and whatnot. But they also want to appeal to a larger audience by not having to flesh out a big sci-fi explanation in a cutscene. So they may do it in a different way, another subtle way. So
I don't care if they drop like little hints about stuff that I might or, you know, may or may not care about. Like if they said something about, well, this ship was here on Reach, you know, during the invasion, but it made it out, you know, and there's like this Reach ship and it's really cool, you know, just stuff like that. But when you have something as big as why is Cortana here when I read in the book that she wasn't here, like that's not something you need to keep secret. That's something you could, because I wouldn't have known if I hadn't have asked you guys.
She could have just used the word splinter. She could have just said,
yes,
this is a splinter of Cortana.
This is a splinter cone of Cortana. Like, that's it.
This is a data dump for a powerful AI. You must take it to her. There.
In Halsey's script, in the script in the game, if they just said that,
well, they didn't even mention
two words right there, and then you would have gotten a ton of information.
But they,
oh, okay.
Well, they didn't even say Cortana in the game.
They didn't say Cortana.
They just said, this is AI. So it implied that it was Cortana. Like, not a splinter. Like, this AI is the custodian, blah, 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 blah.
But it wasn't explicit, so.
Yeah.
Well, it looks, and what's two words you can add to appease, you know, the fans? I mean, now we know of the Halsey Journal, but I understand Brett's point. He's just saying, like, we really,
I mean, they may have had...
It's not like it takes a huge 10-minute side story to understand that.
Right, but...
I just like stuff in the game instead of out of the game. The reason I play video games is because I like absorbing story information and gameplay in the game. It's why I don't read as much as I play video games. It's why I don't watch movies or television as much as I play video games. This is my preferred form of media, and I would like to have the story presented through it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I'm sure if you talk to Bungie about it, there's probably a reason why they kept that particular part out. I mean, I'm not saying that they should have, but there's probably a reason for it.
Well, it's their method of storytelling. You know, doing it in so many different levels. Like, if you are a fan of the fiction, like they leave secrets all over the place and they leave clues all over the place, and you're like, okay, fine, we're gonna put it all there. They sit back and say, okay, try to find everything. And we'll watch you guys come up with your theories, and meanwhile we have an explanation for it somewhere else. It's their way of telling a story.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's if through all the other games, you know, there was meaning behind almost everything in the game. And as far
I guess
as
the problem I had with the design. Cortana thing was it was just really, really confusing. It wasn't something that I didn't know. It was something that was conflicting in my mind, you know, because I had two pieces of information. I knew from the books that Cortana was on the Pillar of Autumn prior to the invasion of Reach and had to turn around and go back to Reach or whatever. And she never got off the ship.
Right.
You know, and then I have the game telling me without, you know, dropping any hints as to why Cortana was there, just for some reason Cortana's with Halsey. And I mean, it was confusing. Like, I thought that they had really, and because, you know, the games are more canon than the books, because the games came from Bungie as opposed to the books, which came from somebody commissioned by Bungie. I mean, it's weird like that. Like, it really just comes down to how you define canon. But, like, I thought that maybe there was just a divergence in the way that they wanted to tell the story. I thought that perhaps the Fall of Reach, they had retconned it to where Cortana was on Reach and not on the Pillar of Autumn, and that was just the story, and it was confusing.
It was confusing to me when I first saw it.
And then I was amazed when I was like, you know, this isn't, you know, retconned out. This is just part of the story, but I didn't know about it because it was in the book I haven't read. You know?
When I first, when they started kicking in, like, you saw Cortana, and then we said, all right, we gotta, they start saying, all right, we gotta get it to the Pillar of Autumn that's waiting somewhere. Like, I really wasn't even paying attention that much. I'm like, oh, I guess we're going to get back into a Saber and fly out to the Pillar of Autumn
yeah.
in orbit, because it was supposed to be out in space and never came down to Reach, but, supposedly in the timeline, it had time to come down. So, that's what I thought. That's why, yeah, I was all confused at the end. Believe me, right after I'd done playing the game, I hit the webs and, you know, the internet and tried to find.
That's what, maybe like she had like got off the ship and traveled to Halsey during the time that they were docked or whatever.
That's what I might
like to get her back out.
Yeah. But it's a timeline thing. This supposedly when they wedged this, story kind of into how long Reach has been invaded for.
Yeah.
So, there seems to be a lot of time to play with here. So I think in time, and I actually think where it's going to come from, where it's going to be explained is in 343 on Waypoint. We'll have their series where they show timelines. They talk about a lot of timeline stuff. They'll flesh it out.
Hmm. I like that they're trying to set up a continuous
they are.
Timeline. I like that effort, you know.
The 343, the guys over there from Ascended Justice, the couple of guys that are there that got hired, I trust those guys. You think what we're talking about with the canon right now, how it pisses you off maybe and how you care about it, we're nothing compared to those guys.
Well, how would you like to go from, you know, studying canon to actually creating it? Like,
exactly.
Like being able to determine what is and isn't canon.
Those guys are, they gotta be on cloud nine, number one. Number two, what better people, but I've never seen the work that they've done. I've never seen anything like it. Putting together the canon, I used to go, after every game, I used to go to their site and say, okay, that explains this, that explains that. No wonder. They tear it apart like no one else. And, I feel that with them up there, I don't think they would, like, I don't care how much they're paying with them. It seemed like the kind of guys who'd be like, if you guys keep screwing this up, we're out of here.
Right.
You know, like, or they have an answer for it. I trust those guys.
Yeah. Are we still on any sword base? Would move.
We're still.
Because we were talking about Halsey.
Yeah, we're jumping around. Sword
base. Yeah, Halsey was kind of an asshole to the Spartan threes, and then you move on to, was it Nightfall?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
The refresh back to Halo 1.
The
Truth and Reconciliation.
Truth and Rec.
You even have a sniper. So cute.
But you don't have hunters on there. You have
a lot of bullets.
Yeah, you do. Never mind. At the very end, you have hunters.
Lots of bullets in that sniper gun.
Yep. Don't you get like 50 or something?
No, you get like 72.
Yeah, it's a lucky number, man.
72 or 80. What are you
talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Talking about Nightfall. The fourth level.
The beginning of level, John gives you a clip for your sniper. It's like, yeah, 70 rounds or something like that.
That's insane.
Yeah. You have tons of sniper rounds. Although on Legendary, you're already done by the time you get to Rally Point Alpha. But yeah, so this level is basically the, I think, Bungie's tribute to the Halo 1 level, Truth and Reconciliation.
Yeah.
Where you're basically infiltrating into the Covenant stronghold and finding out kind of what they're doing on Reach. What was it? Some kind of jammer? Is that what they were going for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The jammers.
They were trying to find out how the presence was, and they found a jam.
Yeah. Which basically said, oh, man, there might be a lot more of these people, or a lot more Covenant on here than we thought, especially with these jammers. So you basically fight through a bunch of Covenant until you get to the jammer, then you go on to where you see a shielded area, and then it's the end of the level.
Not so a very exciting level, story-wise.
No, but it was a nice... I think it was a nice tribute to the Halo...
Homage.
Yeah.
You know what really disappointed me? There wasn't, like, an epic driving sequence.
I know!
Like, I didn't want it to end like that, necessarily. I mean, if they did, that would have been cool and all. But even just, like, put it in the game, just... Because, I mean, the big thing about Halo 1 was that ending driving sequence when you're, you know, driving the Warthog off of the Pillar of Autumn.
Through the Pillar of Autumn, yeah.
You know, I played that Halo 3 level so many
times. And even Halo 3. I mean, my favorite part of Halo 3 is racing off of the Halo, you know, jumping into the ship.
That
and they didn't
the
have
best
anything one. Like that in Reach, you know?
Yeah. That was so much fun. I
would go back to Halo 3 right now and play that. That was so much fun. Like, my friend Taco Riffic had a series called Fun on Halo, which is just us playing that level over and over. There's like 10 episodes of it. We played that level so much, it was so much fun. He started filming it.
Wow.
I love that level.
Wow.
And I was looking forward to that. We kind of had that with the Saber one, I guess. But it's not the same.
It's not the same. It's not a driving level.
Maybe that was their attempt at it. And then there's that one Mongoose level, kind of. But there was no epic Warthog thing, and I was looking for that. I was looking forward to that.
The Saber thing, I think they could have made it longer. Yeah. I wish they just had a multiplayer map where you could just go around.
Yeah, or shooting like saber. Matchmaking Saber fight, and it's or something.
That saber was fight.
Star Fox.
Saber fight.
Everyone was so hopeful about that. Like, oh, dude, this means we're going to have a whole new game mechanic. Oh, I wonder if there's going to be custom sabers. The people I knew were like that, and I was just so pessimistic about it. Like,
I figured they wouldn't do anything like that. I mean, it's just too different from regular Halo multiplayer, and they know that's where the moneymaker is. Like, you don't mess with Halo multiplayer.
I don't know. I think a lot of people would have enjoyed it, though.
As a separate game type, yeah, but I don't think you could have.
You have Invasion, that was new.
I think it's not deep enough in skill where, it'd be great for a little thing for the fun, maybe even just customs, but like some kind of matchmaking in that, after a while that get dry.
They would have had to elaborate on
it. It could have been a social playlist kind of thing, though.
Because really, it
was... Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, you're right. They would have to elaborate. Like, they would have to add more things your ship can do to add more skill to a combination of, things you can do instead of just barrel rolls and missiles.
Yeah.
I hope the DLC, I can't wait for that. Awesome maps. But I was just disappointed that there was no epic driving level. That crushed me.
If anything, the Saber level just made me want a new Star Fox game.
That was last week when we were talking about which campaign was your favorite. I couldn't decide because Halo Reach is my favorite campaign, but Halo 3 has the best level ever made in any video game for me, which is that Halo level. I could play that all day, nonstop. That was
and it was awesome. Just, so suspenseful. I never really got that feeling of suspense with Reach.
No.
That I got on Halo.
Well, you know the end.
Well, I mean, you can still have suspense in a game, even if you know the end. Even if, in a story, you can still have moments where, I know this isn't where I need to die. Like, I need to keep
going.
But
you can have a little twist in the story where you haven't necessarily read upon, or you wouldn't know that was there. It's like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's like, Halo 3 would have still been exciting in Reach. You would have had to change it around a little bit. Like, instead of on Halo, you're on, Covenant Super Cruiser or something weird like that. But how would you like to drive around in a Covenant Super Cruiser on a Warthog? That'd be weird.
That'd be
cool. You know what? They try to fit, I think, they play tribute to so many of all the Halo games in the Reach campaign levels that I guess they just did a little of everything. There was nothing over dominant except for the Saber, I guess. But
well, I'm glad they didn't do any flood levels.
Well, that's one thing that you got to be. We should all just be thankful right now for that.
No flood Reach. That alone makes Halo Reach the best campaign of all
time. God.
Yeah.
Yes. So a little of everything. Remember? What about a tank? Like the tank part in towards the end of the game is not as long as, and usually have it a couple of times. There's only one time in this game when you do a tank level.
Oh yeah.
That driving level, I'll never get over that. I'm gonna have to play Halo 3 again to get my fix.
Future fix.
I guess
the only one on my friends list to play.
I guess on the tank levels, I never had that tank beats everything feeling that I got on the Ark. Driving around on the sand, blowing everything up.
Yeah, because they just put everything there just for you to shoot with your tank. It's like, oh, sweet. But the tank didn't beat everything. If someone ran ahead, it got teleported and got crapped on by all the enemies. And it blew up really fast.
Yeah.
You never really felt like a bad as much, I guess.
Yeah. I got that feeling, too. Like, it felt like you had to protect the tank, not the tank was protecting you.
Yeah.
Just to get that achievement.
I don't know. I didn't even know there was an achievement for it until I got the achievement the first time I did through. It's like, oh, that's cool.
I didn't get the achievement because I ran ahead using my awesome strategy of run ahead, throw a grenade, die, respawn, throw another grenade that I always use in campaign. And so I teleported the scorpion up and it blew up.
So did everyone here get the saber achievement on the first try?
Yes.
Yep.
I got that on accident too.
Yep. Like, what?
That one I got on accident.
It was like kill the Corvette or
in under 3 minutes.
Take out its engines and escorts in under 3 minutes.
Some of these achievements were so easy, man.
Yeah. I mean, the only ones that were hard to... The only one that was hard to get was if they came to hear me beg.
That one's kind of glitchy, too.
Which one is that?
It's the one we have to assassinate an elite.
Oh, yep. While falling?
That's hard to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's a pain. Yeah.
It's a little small, very small window of opportunity.
Yeah, very tiny.
Yeah. You could be
very I must have spent 4 hours trying to get that.
Oh, man.
I got it on, like, my third try.
on my private account, I got it on my second try.
I think I got it. I think it took me, like, 35 tries.
I still haven't gotten it. I just gave up.
It's definitely hard.
Like, I tried it, like, 100 times. No joke. Couldn't get it.
Yeah, wow. It's hard.
Timing has to be just so.
Apparently, there's some other levels you can do it on.
Yeah.
You need it to where it's actually a higher location. I think that's the main problem. And another problem was, if you landed on the elite at all before you actually meleeed him, it softened your blow and it canceled out the fact that you were going to get the achievement.
Yeah.
Like, you basically had to land right behind him without touching him and get the assassination.
Yep.
Which, getting that alignment is very difficult. But back on track here.
All right, so we finished Nightfall.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
And we're on tip of the spear.
Spear.
We go disable the shield, or you actually take out 2 anti-air batteries, and then you go disable the shield after you crash land your Falcon. Yay! And you get jetpacks. Anything special on this one for you guys?
Right in the beginning, when
the massive all those warthogs.
Yeah, all those warthogs and mongoose, the 2 guys in the mongoose.
They were doing.
Did they have pelicans? Yeah, it was some pelicans. And then
some falcons. Yeah.
It
was kind of disappointing when you basically crashed your car and then you were on foot. It's like, I was looking for like an epic driving scene right there where you're like drive through Ghosts and Revenants to get to this one part. It's like, that would have been an epic driving sequence. Yeah. Right, Jake?
My God, I want an epic driving sequence.
Race.
Hey, 343 Industries, I'll buy the crap out of your game if you put an epic driving sequence.
All right. Next thing you know, they're going to make a racing game called Retracer or something.
Retracer! Hey, it's the Halo racing game. It's just all Halo 3. It's that level from Halo 3 Halo over and over again. I'd buy that game, dude. It's
like Mario Kart.
Available on Windows Phone 7.
Wow, we must be really boring, Brent, if he's reading up on other news.
No, I'm saying that's where they put the new Halo game.
Oh.
They're probably going to do that. Oh, God.
That wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to, like, rat out on 343, but I think when Bungie...
No, here's the thing. I don't have anything against 343. For a while, I didn't like 343 I that much, but then I noticed they were hiring on community people, and I like that.
Right.
I like the idea of hiring community people.
It's not 343 I'm worried about. It's Microsoft.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like the way Microsoft handles Halo.
Okay, yes, I should phrase that to be Microsoft, yes.
You know what? The way they usually handle stuff, like hiring those community people, is actually something that Microsoft usually doesn't do. So it's kind of...
But in my opinion, Halo should be Bungie. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, we would love for it to be in their hands, but...
I'm going to be very, very cautious with the stuff that... Or game-wise, 343 puts out.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody will be.
It's not like Microsoft can tell them to do something and just go, no, we're not going to do that. Like, hey, make a Windows Phone 7 game. No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, whatever Microsoft wants, Microsoft will get.
Yep. So that's why I'm worried.
If you get a chance, we have a copy of, I think it's Gears of War 2. There's a, the you know, I guess the limited edition commentary or making of the game.
Yeah.
It's either Gears 1 or 1 or 2. I'm not sure. I think it's 1, actually. So the Microsoft comes in to Epic to check in on their progress.
How you doing? You got our game ready?
And it's a woman, and she's like,
you got our game ready?
You could sense the tension in the air. Like, Epic Studios are just like, oh, we got to do everything that they tell us to do. We don't like that, you know? A studio hates being told, you know, to be, you know, they want to be creative on their own, and they hate have to change stuff in their creative. It's, you know, you got
it's like
your
telling
creative
an artist how to paint.
Right. So they
like Picasso. Picasso, what the hell are you doing? Put that eye back up there. Oh, this is how I like it. This looks
here's
good.
Here's the thing with Microsoft. If we were going to compare him to Picasso, they would go to Picasso. They wouldn't make him change his art style, but they'd give him like 3 days to make his next painting. And no matter like how unpolished or unfinished the thing was, they'd put it out anyway.
Right.
And then they would if he like asked to get more time.
Right.
Instead of drawing like a face, it's just a robot face. It's a big square. Like he didn't have time to make a weird human face.
I'm not going to lie. I enjoy the idea of like a young female Microsoft executive breaking her foot off in the ass of Cliff Bleszinski. That'd be pretty fun.
I think Cliff is in the meeting or whatever, but
well, you think he would be. I mean, he's like lead producer, isn't he?
I don't know. I just forget. I can't remember. It was a while ago, and you know, there's definitely a ton of, but there's still a couple other people way ahead of him. Like,
yeah, Mark Rain and
Mark Rain and all those guys. So there was some meeting, and you can sense. Like, you know what? There was a debate about the chainsaw. Microsoft was pushing back and said the chainsaw is basically stupid. You shouldn't do it. The chainsaw on the gun.
Yeah, obviously, because, you know, that's not everybody's favorite part of Gears of War.
Yeah, I know, right? And Microsoft pushed back on that. They said, you know, this is not going to fly. But eventually, I think it was Cliff who eventually convinced Microsoft that you should just take a chance on this and let it go. And they Microsoft bended and let it happen, and we know what happens from there. But you could just sense like the developers and Epic were just like, I hate this Microsoft. Excuse me.
All right, I understand like major publishers being wary of new untested developers, but for something like Epic, why wouldn't you just let them have artistic reign? Why wouldn't you just let them do it? I mean, because you know that they're going to put out good stuff. They've been proven. You know, just let them do what they want.
Same thing with Bungie.
What were we talking about?
Stories?
Tip of the spear.
Oh, yeah.
Tip of the spear and 343i. Yes, okay.
Tip of the spear. Thinking of anything important from that. The spire's on tip of the spear.
Yes, it is.
One of my favorite maps.
Always like trying to figure out if the single player map was based on the multiplayer map or if the multiplayer map was based on the single player map.
I always had the feeling the multiplayer was based on the single player part. But
I guarantee that Reflection's based on multiplayer map because Reflection is.
That Reflection's part of a
what
bigger
is it?
Remake.
The one where it's Ivory Tower remake, but.
Yeah, it's on New Alexandria.
Yeah, New Alexandria. But it appears just as it does in the map, except with that little place back.
Yeah, it does.
Sometimes it feels like weird. Like Reflection felt weird walking into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, I don't know.
Well, it was Oriental instead of Cityscape.
Not the actual level, just seeing it in campaign, like
In campaign. Well, I had that same with the sword base.
Yeah, that was weird too.
But it was weirder with Reflection, I know what you're saying, because that was based on a Halo 2 map, right?
Yeah, so, it's like you walk in there, it's like back. What?
And we have a campaign playing. It's kinda weird.
And then there's Club Pereira, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Club Kevin Pereira.
But yeah, Tip of the Spear has a spire and also has the achievement where you can jack the Banshee.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always, for the part where you get to the spire, I always just go up and jetpack to the lift areas. I just bypass all the covenant down there.
Yeah, me too.
It's like I'll jump up to the right, jump up to the pipe, and then just go on over until I hit one of the lifts and go up.
Yeah.
Like, you can save, like, 5 minutes doing that. But, let's see, story-wise, nothing too important there. It doesn't seem like there's really much story-wise going on except near the end.
Yeah.
Where it starts to merge with the existing Halo canon that's already been kind of developed within the games of Halo 1. So, yeah, Tip of the Spear, you make the shield go down, you get the Mac Cannon to kill off the Spire, and then don't they get shot with a... Do the two frigates get shot off by a carrier or something?
Yeah, they destroy, like, some frigates. I remember. Because they're like, oh, dude, we're screwed. What's like, we took out one of their cruisers. They took out, like, five of our frigates. Like,
I mean, look at the size of our frigates compared to their cruisers. They're tiny.
Super carrier, all of a sudden. Hello?
Yeah.
Super carrier. But yes, after that, you get to fly a saber in Long Night of Solace.
Super carrier sounds like it needs to be, like, the name of a chain of grocery stores or something.
Super carrier, we carry all your grocery needs. That's why we're so super.
Yeah, super. Super duper.
Now with bigger super duper carriers.
So moving on to Long Night of Solace. You get to fight a wave of drop pod elites and grunts.
Yeah. I'm thinking about what else you do. You run up the beach.
Yeah, run up the beach.
Secret saber program. Totally just sitting there.
And supposedly Noble Six has flown before.
Yeah, he's been trained.
Yep.
The secret program which Kat happened to know about.
Kat knows stuff.
And not Pilgrim.
She hears things.
Tapping in stuff.
There you go, 343i. Just do a game about being an Oni agent. There you go.
Remember what we said though. Oni cleans up everything, fixes everything.
Yep.
So that's what 343 is really. Essentially, it's Oni.
No.
No.
Oni. Let's see. Other than the space battle part, it's just epic. George dies.
Space battle. That was cool.
Space battle. That's pretty much the highlight of this level, is the space battle.
Space battle.
The rest of it is just delaying you getting to the space battle.
It's like Zero-G
Star
fighting.
Fox 360.
Zero-G fighting.
Oh, yeah. You get to fight in Zero-G for a while.
Well, it's not. How about that? It's not Zero-G.
Well, not Zero-G,
but yeah.
Low-G.
Low-G. Low-G.
Low-G.
Snow and low.
It's still not a space battle. Meh.
Meh. Oh, the space battle was pretty nice. I thought it was short, though.
So short.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too short.
That's what she said.
Yes.
I thought it was a little too confined, but I mean, I guess she had to do that.
I'm wondering. A teaser to Bungie's next game.
I certainly hope not, because I really don't want a space fighter.
That'd be weird.
Real out of them.
I thought the space battle was going to be like dogfights, not just shoot them at a distance and shoot a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be a super cool dogfight and be like, oh, this is a challenge.
Well, there's not a hell of a lot of variety, too. It's like, you have to shoot this one with a machine gun, but when these other ones come by, you got to shoot them with the machine gun and then shoot them with the rockets.
Oh, boy. How could I remember
these
that?
These ones, you don't have to shoot with a machine gun at all. Just shoot the rockets at them.
Or you could just shoot with the machine gun anyways, and you're probably
Yeah, you could do that, too. That's totally cool. It just takes longer.
And this one just use harsh language.
Yeah, man.
Die.
Stupid face.
it seemed pretty confined. It wasn't really a big space battle, it was just a space battle that happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably sold a lot more games. It was cool. It looked awesome in the trailers.
It was. I wish they had more basically more of it. And that it could have been multiplayer, but oh well.
Multiplayer space battle dogfights, awesome.
Well, that would be awesome.
I wanted a dogfight. There was no dogfight.
How was that level on legendary?
It's not that bad. There's a couple. I found that a couple times you have to make sure you don't lose your health.
Right.
But other than that, it's just like playing on any other difficulty to me.
Okay.
There wasn't as much of a challenge, and the flying controls, I don't know, they seemed really easy comparatively. Yeah,
they felt comfortable, actually.
Felt all right.
I mean, yeah, it felt all right, but it seemed a lot easier.
Felt like an R-Wing from Star Fox.
It just felt like I guess I'm used to flyers like Battlefield stuff where you actually have to know how to pitch and yaw and...
Well, I guess these are space.
Yeah, space battle. I mean, they kind of do that with the Falcon a little bit. You have to like control your elevation, but you can lock it in or whatever. But still,
right.
Well, that was.
But I mean, when you want to go to the left, the game automatically tilts and then turns you. It doesn't, like, actually go to the left like you would in a regular fighter jet.
Well, I mean, when you want to turn left in a Warthog, you don't have to turn a steering wheel or fucking hit the clutch or anything like that.
Well, the Warthog has one gear.
I get what he's
Unigear.
Like, you don't turn and then it happens. It just instantly happens.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's part of Halo. Halo has never been a super realistic experience when it comes to driving.
Simulator. Yeah. This is
it's not even a simulator. It's like
the exact opposite. I was about to say it's not even a simulator.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a simulator.
God, I hate when my headset cord gets caught on my wheel.
Wheel
of fortune.
Maybe that's the reason the Saber flies so well. It's got a planetary gear.
A planetary gear?
Yeah, it's got a planetary gear.
From the future, I guess. Yeah, it's been planetary, big advances.
Saber gears.
Maybe.
Yeah. They still have Top Gear in the future. You know that, right?
Top Gear?
That's still a thing on Reach. Well, it was before it got glassed.
You can be my wingman anytime.
Yeah, that's you Top Gun.
Oh, Top Gun. I thought you said Top Gear. I'm like, what? Top Gun, okay.
I did say Top Gear. But I guess Top Gun exists in the future, too. That'd be sweet, like a Saber team. Like, they make a game that's kind of like got a kind of Top Gun-style characters, like flying around in Sabers or Falcons. It'd be sweet.
Hey, 343 should hire us. Hint, hint. Yeah.
They'd never sell another game ever again if they hired
That'd me. Be the smartest business decision anyone has ever made ever.
I am leaving my wingman.
Can't hire Tom Cruise. What?
Oh.
Tom Cruise as Master Chief. No!
I'm going to be pissed if they go hire Tom Cruise now, because that would be totally stealing our idea.
Yeah.
Yo, buzz the tower, Master Chief.
Yo, commission. Come on.
Sylvester Stallone.
We discovered this Tom Cruise guy.
As John, 117.
Oh, no.
They do a cocktail remake with Master Chief.
I still think Steve Down should voice over Chief if they do make the Halo movie.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Well, yeah,
like,
maybe.
Like have someone act it, but.
Like Morgan Freeman doing the
voiceover. Like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
It'd be Roundabout.
Like Darth Vader. That'd be cool.
Roundabout.
Well, people, the game universe is different from the movie universe. In the game universe, you are the person. You're the person that's playing the game, so it works not showing their face. But in a movie, you want it to be a character that you see and you know. And
you're so iconic now, it doesn't matter. Everybody knows the Chief. Everybody knows the Chief doesn't take his helmet off. That's the point of that character. Now, if you're just introducing a new character in a movie like that, you obviously have to show their face or something. I mean, you don't have to. Like you're saying, that's beneficial, but the Master Chief is super iconic now.
Yep.
I mean, to people who don't even play Halo, you show them a picture of Master Chief, they're like, yep, that's Master Chief. I don't know what he does, but I know his name, and I know what he looks like.
Yeah. Except your grandma. She won't know. Anyone's grandma.
Maybe.
She's the coolest grandma in the world.
Mine wouldn't.
Hardcore, man.
Mine wouldn't.
They had a like special on G4 once about this old lady that she like curses all the time, but she loves video games, and like she's playing, she's like, get down! Like words I can't even use on the podcast.
That you use anyways?
I use anyway, yeah.
And that cool old lady is probably, you know, she probably has a grandson that doesn't even appreciate her or play video games.
She's probably listening to this podcast right now.
That's how it goes, man.
I mean, she can't listen to it right now, but after this is recorded and sent out to the public, she's probably listening to this podcast right now.
Baby.
Dropping F-bombs.
But what were we talking about? Oh, Long Night of Solace, we didn't talk about George dying. Self-sacrifice and all, he's a big guy, pushes you out of the supercarrier, or the Corvette, and it explodes near the supercarrier, creating a super slipstream black hole thing, and he saved Reach, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But there's talk of people think that Horror George is still alive.
Yeah, that'd be
somewhere in another, you know, wherever, subspace,
with Halsey
somewhere.
Right.
Well, and there's
to be alive with George. That was the thing.
There's a thing where Noble Six is still alive, too, because of, since you didn't see him die in the last...
Well, you pretty much saw him die.
Well, no.
You saw the Corvette explode, and you saw the supercarrier get, you know, apart, but you didn't see die explicitly.
You pretty much see Noble Six die.
Oh, you know he's dead, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
See his sword go into... You don't see the sword exactly, but see it thrust. Like, what did it do? Go into the dirt?
And then the Elite was just like, oh, I hit the dirt, I guess he wins. Oops, oh, I missed.
I'm going to let you go now.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man, I missed.
I'm sorry about this, dude.
We got to let him go now.
A lot better than this. I'm really sorry.
Well, let's go tell the prophets.
Got to go invade Earth in like 2 weeks now, so.
I need the sword.
Yeah.
The prophets are going to give me an earful.
I mean, like the scene before Noble Six gets stabbed, you see another Spartan get stabbed. You know, he's dead.
Yeah. So I can't wait until we get to the June thing, because I want to talk about that. But ooh. Let's continue.
Yes, but long as I saw this, you make the Corvette go to the supercarrier. Then George blows it up with the slip space thing, the slip space bomb. And then you're back on the planet in Exodus.
Yes.
What happens just before that, though?
You land on the ground and you see the ship crash into the planet?
Right after the slip space and the supercarrier gets blown up. Slip space rupture. All of a sudden...
Oh, that's right. The Covenant fleet.
Like you read in the books, arrives in mass.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. To
that's
screw
when the real invasion that we remember from the book starts to happen.
It's like the most epic fail.
That was like the point of like complete hopelessness for Reach. Yes. They're like, oh.
You go from being, oh, we did it. No, oh, we lost. That's sad, but at least it's, we did it. And then, oh, no, more of them, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's how the Covenant wins, just their sheer numbers.
Because they conquered so many species, they built up so many, just countless. They're more like the Horde. Keep getting called on Skype. Stop calling, holy call. Okay.
Alright.
But yeah, that's when all the ships come, and it's basically turned to a hellhole. It's hell on Reach.
I was waiting for that moment, though. I was waiting for... Like, from what we read from the books, like, all of a sudden, you know, just all this huge, massive Covenant invasion force just shows up.
Well, you got it there.
We got it there. And I was waiting for that. I was like, oh, cool.
Because everyone comes, it's like, oh, boy. This is not good.
Oh, this is why all the Spartans die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, they
beginning,
only die.
No, ends.
Spartans never die.
They just missing an action.
Indeed.
Missing on a milk cart.
So Exodus is basically you're helping evacuate people out of the city.
Yep.
And
Bullfrog.
It's kind of like a
Bullfrogs.
Bullfrog.
Bullfrogs.
I thought that was kind of a silly name for a elite group of like jetpacking ODSTs or whatever the hell they are.
Welcome to the Bullfrog.
It makes sense, though, like little lily pads.
It makes sense. But you think you'd want, like, a cool name like Firebirds or Eagle Falcons.
Hell from above.
Demon Eagles. Hell Vultures.
The Flaming Gokus.
Flaming Gokus?
Every time they turn on their jetpacks, they're like, Super Saiyan Go!
Ka! Meh!
Oh, just turn it on, Steve!
You see this Bullfrog try to do a command. Like, doing the movement.
You're gonna get us killed!
When they go to do a chant, they're like, Ribbit!
Ribbit! You really get into it?
Oh my goodness.
Ribbit.
I got my ribbit badge.
Ribbit. Yeah, that's what it says ribbit on their insignia. Ribbit up.
Ribbit up. Wow. Okay. Ribbit up.
Ribbit up, dildo.
Oh man,
that's good stuff.
Jeez. So other than the Bullfrog,
suicide grunts.
Yes.
Yeah, all the suicide grunts. That was funny. I like that part of the game.
Yes.
I died like 2 times. They would, like, turn around the corner and just kill me.
Suicide squads. Oh, yep. You'd be kidding me. Nope.
Suicide squads on your location. Really?
We're the fail grunts.
I love those Welcome suicide to the fail grunts.
Then all the chain reactions of grenades. Yeah.
The leader is, like, a guy who survived one of them.
Oh, on I think it was my initial run-through. I killed a grunt, and one of the grenades actually flew up and ended up sticking me, even though I was walking backwards.
That sucks.
It's like, oh, no freaking way. And then I just explode.
To save the film.
I don't know if I saved it or not. I don't think I did.
I always loved, even from Halo 3 and then, you know, now, up to now, with the suicide grunts when you don't see them. Usually you could see them a mile away. Just headshot, goodbye, see you, done.
Yeah.
When they, all of a sudden you turn the corner and one's right there, you're like,
oh,
It's like, oh, man, you're toast.
Like, you don't know what to do. Like, do you shoot them? But then they'll drop the grenades next to you. Like, do you run back and shoot them?
Well, by the time you're already seeing them, they're already primed to explode.
You just have that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what do you do? It's like a split-second decision.
It's like you're a deer in headlights. And then you just blow up. So that's a good tactic, because the grunts are useless anyways. That's what the I like only good thing to have.
Blows up. Like, you kill one of them, and it just sets off a chain reaction.
Yep.
That's great.
Imagine being the first grunt who thought of that. Like, would you feel pride for that grunt, or would you hate him?
I would hate him, dude, because then they started making him do it. And they like, all right, yeah, we found that these are pretty effective against killing Spartans and stuff.
It doesn't even seem like they make him do it. They trash talk while they do it. They're like, hey, yeah, suck on this. Like,
well, wouldn't you if you knew you were going to die anyway? Like,
I'm sure I can stick it, demon.
Oh, I'm not the demon. Crap.
Yeah, I do like that they changed all the language to where it wasn't human English.
Yeah.
I do like that change that they put in there.
Grunts say funny things, so.
Well, if you have the grunt birthday party on, I think they speak human stuff.
That's good.
Because, I mean, it's the grunt. I mean, I would have been your daddy. Sorry.
Oh, that's still there? I haven't even looked through the skull.
They're all the same skulls as they were in Halo 3.
Okay, good.
There's a few extra ones in Firefight, though.
This time you don't have to find them.
No, you don't.
Nope.
You get to find Datapad instead.
You don't have to.
I said you get to. I didn't say
you get to. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like no like achievement.
No, there's not. No. They just put a bunch of Easter eggs in this one.
I wonder if there's an Easter egg that no one's found that's actually like
I'm sure there egg. Is.
There's usually one. Like a little egg. On.
There's got to be one somewhere. There's got to be a few somewhere. I'm sure New Alexandria probably has a few other songs. Yeah, it took you long enough.
That's what it...
Someone was saying, and I'm pretty sure it was a lie now, but that Bungie said no one had discovered the biggest Easter egg, which is on Sand Trap or something. That's supposed to be a giant Easter egg or something, but I think it was just a rumor that got caught up and turned into fact.
That would be cool. That would be awesome if there was something that no one found.
Suck if you're
Bungie. Then all of a sudden Bungie would say, like, all right, here it is. This is something you guys never found.
Yeah.
That hardly ever happens in any game.
Because some modder always finds everything.
And within a year, too. Yeah. It's not like it takes like 3 or 4 years. There was something I read about.
It was like three days.
Yeah. They finally found something after years. I forgot what it was, an old retro game. They found something.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I can't remember
what it was, but...
Did you read about that, right?
Yeah,
they found something that's been in 25 years, no one's ever discovered it. Ah, forget the game.
Oh, man.
It's a Nintendo, I think, too.
I wanted to say Sonic, but...
No, it's not Sonic. I definitely remember it not being Sonic.
I almost want to say...
Link? Something with Zelda?
Super Mario Brothers, almost.
Back to Halo.
Yes.
So yeah, Exodus. You get to escort a bunch of people. And you get to fly around in a Falcon shooting some Covenant. Then you get to activate some anti-air batteries, killing off two Wraiths.
You don't get to fly the Falcons, right? You just use the turret.
You're just gunning, yeah.
That's excellent.
Nothing much on here either. Except the jetpacking part I found a little fun.
Bullfrog!
Welcome to the Bullfrogs.
Bullfrog!
Ribbit.
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 Oh, gosh.
Welcome never to the look pansy at those. Corns.
I'm going to be cracking up the next time I do that level.
Crack it up.
Crack, crack.
Welcome to the lemurs.
Welcome to the jetpack, guys.
To the... I got nothing.
Welcome to the turtles. They all use armor lock.
How is this supposed to help us?
Am I not turtly enough for the turtle club?
Well, my armor already does that. Ow.
Welcome to the rabbit. Sprint. Okay.
Anyways, on to welcome new to Alex...
Twins.
What?
What?
Nope, wait. Twins. Hologram.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to the drop shield.
Yeah, the double mint. Jingle.
So, new Alexandria, how about that?
Oh, man, that sure is a level. It's all right.
It's a big level.
Too open for me.
It almost reminds me of...
OD.
The first Halo level that you're on, where you have to go find the three marine areas. What is it called?
ODST.
Called Halo, I think.
City. I think the environment just reminds me a lot of ODST.
Yeah.
The environment does,
it's supposed
yeah.
to be a homage to it. The music and Buck is in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's there.
Wait, Buck was there?
Buck gets in, like, worse situations, though. I hate to be Buck.
Buck was in New Alexandria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on Reach.
Yeah. And, like, they sent him, like, directly from that over to Earth. It was, like, messed up. It would suck to be Buck.
Buck, you just had an encounter with the Covenant. We're going to send you to Earth, man. You need a break. Oh, hey, great.
Man. Oh, man, that's awesome.
Oh, wait, there's more Covenant? Oh.
I get to see my family.
Yeah, and try to die in the process.
Trisha Helfer's going to be there hot.
But, yeah, this one has the nice Club Herrera Easter eggs.
Well, yeah.
God, just I love those.
Explain that one to him, Dustin, how to get the Club Herrera Easter.
Well, whenever you get the signal to go to Club Herrera, you go kill off all the enemies, and you have to get the checkpoint where you would normally land the Falcon on there. Once you get that checkpoint, you have to go back to the hospital, which is indicated by a blue sign. I think it's due east or west.
I don't remember. I don't remember the location of.
It can be YouTubed that level. If you can't.
It can be YouTubed.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of a lengthy process.
If you're facing the front of Club Herrera, it's to your right. It's almost a straight shoot to your right. But you go down to it's an altitude of 350 meters, and you activate the switch on. It's in a kind of partitioned off area that's indicated by two trees. Activate the switch, you go back to Club Herrera, and you go inside, and there's a DJ brute. There's two bar brutes, and then there's grunts dancing everywhere. And the first song that's playing is Never Surrender, or a remix of it. And then if you go to the top of Club Herrera after going in there, you can find another switch at the top. And if you activate that one, it starts playing the Siege of Madrigal.
Yep. Which is an old Easter egg that they've had in, isn't it every Halo game?
I don't know if it's every Halo game.
I don't know if it was in Halo 2. Yeah, I don't think it was.
Halo 2 might not have, yeah.
No, I know Halo 3 had it.
Halo 1 and Halo 3 had it.
Yeah.
ODST had it.
Really? Where?
Oh, yeah.
By Marty.
Yeah. That secret.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that was the last Halo Reach tricks. That's right. Speaking of which, Chris, you're really quiet.
I think he died.
Chris, are you awake?
I'm right here, right?
I guess not.
You know what angers me? Spec Ops grunts. I have to shoot him twice in the head.
Yeah, you have to get off the mask and then shoot him in the head.
I like those grunts with the packs fly and they flip around.
Oh, yeah, they're gas tanks. Yeah.
They're gas tanks.
Those are funny. Because you shoot off the gas tank and then they'll start flipping, doing somersaults in midair. It's hilarious.
No way for a grunt to die.
Good way for me to die. I've had those things shoot up at me and kill me.
Yep.
Explode.
Especially on Legendary. If they get close enough to you, they just pop and you're dead.
No fun.
Nope, no fun indeed. But New Alexandria takes, what, about 30 minutes to complete?
Maybe you have to do, like, the law jobs. Come save us! Come shoot these guys!
Has anyone try or seen what happens if you actually call for evac in the middle of the level?
No. Do they just...
Oh, well, I haven't yet. I was wondering if someone did.
What do you mean in the middle of the level?
There, you can, whenever in the level, you can call for evac.
Yeah.
And I've never tried it.
I think if I remember, what happens is it spawns you back at a helipad, and then they bring a Falcon over to you.
Well, they just bring it over to you wherever you are.
You just teleport. Or maybe you're right, I don't know.
They bring it to, like, the closest helipad. Wherever the hell you landed your Falcon, they bring it.
I don't remember that call for evac.
But you can get stuck in areas on New Alexandria where they can't land the Falcon.
Yeah, like when you're going for the data pad? Like when you're going for the legendary data pad?
Yeah.
They wouldn't bring it to me on top of the building where that Siege of Madrigal switch is.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was just me, though.
Just jump off. Really, just do it. We can't get to you.
You could probably jetpack down.
Just jump.
That'd be an interesting experiment. See if you could jetpack down.
I jumped. I died.
Yeah. I would assume you would from that height. You're falling, what, 600 meters?
I could have made it, man.
Could have made it, man. If only I had like 100 meters of grunts to fall through.
I just needed the armor lock at just the right moment.
The game timed you out before you even hit, like, what, 200?
Yeah.
So that's weird that Spartans randomly die just from falling. Like, without hitting the ground, they just die. That's a gameplay thing, though.
Yeah, that is a gameplay thing, which sucks, but...
Suspension of disbelief.
I mean, because you can have a Hornet come in after you free fall, and then you can just hop onto the Hornet, and then the Hornet can slowly come out of the dive. Eh?
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 Right?
Right, right. No.
Oh. What the hell just happened?
I don't know. But New Alexandria, you fly around to basically three different locations with jammers, and then there's like two or three different side quests that you can do. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sound about right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And it's I've found it to be pretty much random every time what the order is.
Yeah.
That's what I read. It's random. It's not. There's no way to really generate the same ones every time or something.
Right. I think it also depends on where you are, triggers certain events that you can do.
Right.
Like, I think between every major point, although I haven't had this happen every time I've played, but most of the time, between every time you go and disable a jammer, there's a little side quest. But that's just what I have found. But it was interesting flying around.
Yeah.
The Falcon. I like the way it flies. It's straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot better than the Hornet. And that actually feels like flying.
Yeah.
The Hornet felt like a toy, kind of. This actually feels like a vehicle.
Right.
I'm going to spawn a Hornet or Falcon right now and fly around in it.
Spawn on your bro co-op style.
I like how it goes faster. I like that acceleration.
Yeah.
Like, and then it tops out and it goes super fast.
Yeah, it is pretty nice. I think it was a nice change from the Hornet.
Hornet was their practice girl for flying vehicle. They made this.
Right. But yeah, every time I do the club or rare part, I always go activate the switch so I don't have to fight the hunters.
Hunters are tough in that one.
Yeah. They are. And plus there's all the fuel rod grunts. You can just shoot them off and then you take their fuel rods and then shoot all the other grunts. And you can go towards the heavy weapons commendation. Commendation. Blah, 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 blah.
I wish I could be accommodated when I'm playing Halo Reach.
Next level is the package.
Mm.
This is pretty much, I would say, the level with the most story behind it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you're back in and around Sword Base, you're taking the tank up, killing off the Covenant. Once you get the sword base, you're being blindly directed around by this AI of unknown origin and unknown classification, according to Dot, until you're taken to a place underground with an ancient artifact, Forerunner artifact, and the little Cortana sliver.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called.
Splinter Cell.
Splinter, yeah.
Splinter Cell. Splinter.
Splinter Cell, wow. Yeah, the tank part wasn't that bad. I actually used the tank to destroy the two anti-air turrets. Like, I just stayed back and shot inside, and I managed to kill him that way.
Yeah, I remember you told us that last time. I was like, Evan.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, it's pretty easy to do. As long as you don't get the ghost coming up to you or the banshee shooting you, you're pretty much set to go on killing him off with a tank.
Tank beats air turret.
Tank beats ghost. Tank
beats everything.
Yeah, if you can get the tank to the gate, you can get the achievement if you're playing on... It has to be at least heroic, right?
No, legendary.
Oh, legendary, okay. That's right.
I said legendary.
Legendary. Legendary.
Some of those achievements, the way they're worded is misleading. Like... survive the whole level without setting foot in a vehicle on winter contingency.
Yeah, but it's really only half the vehicle. It's only half.
It's like not even half the level. It's like nothing. Survive one big fight without getting into a vehicle that doesn't require a vehicle. Or, you know. That's weird.
Yeah, that one's kind of weird.
They had to clarify a lot of the achievements, you know, in their weekly update, you know. Exactly what they meant. It doesn't explain it all.
I just wish if they came to hear me beg wasn't as glitchy.
Yeah. That one is ridiculous. My friend actually got it and it didn't work after trying for like an hour.
Oh, you can get it, but it'll never give you the achievement.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like
you have to get extremely lucky. I mean, I've just been lucky enough actually taking the time to get the achievement. So I don't have to worry about it anymore. But I've had people ask me to help them with it, though.
I think I just got lucky when I got it. I mean, it took me about 40 times, but I made the assassination and didn't get it probably 3 or 4 times.
Oh, that probably happened to me at least like 12 times.
Yeah, no, it was like 3 or 4 times, and then boom, once it popped, and that was it.
It's like, I'm done, quit.
40th time, that was it. Yeah, I'm done.
I can finally sleep. It's over.
Yeah.
It took me. Yeah. It only took me like a half hour, too. It's not like...
You got lucky.
Yeah.
Because it took me like 2 sessions of like 2 hours each. But by the time I get it, I'm like, oh man, the time's really gone by.
Yeah, but it wasn't like I was doing anything different. Or I was that much off those 40 times. It was like I was very, very close doing the same exact thing that many times. I mean, maybe it was more times than that, too. I'm not even sure.
It's just a very, very glitchy achievement.
I think the window of how you where you have to be and when you got to hit that button and where exactly that elite is, like all those things have to line up perfectly and have that small little hitbox of a window and the speed you're falling at.
That's kind of an ill-made achievement anyway, you know? It's like,
yeah. Well, you know,
like
what,
in hindsight, I'm not sure they would have made that achievement, you know? Like knowing all the glitches and stuff it had with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Replace it with something different, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
you would kind of wonder what in their playtest think that achievement would be somewhat reasonable.
It probably like they happened on lucky. Accident once, and they thought it was awesome. So they're like, "Dude, we should make this an achievement." like for real, yeah. that's how I like to imagine it happening. But of course, I don't know.
I could see that.
The first thing I thought of was like where you would get that achievement. It was not in a place that you know at the Pillar of Autumn beginning there.
No.
The first place I thought that you could do that was like jumping off the spire.
Yeah,
that's what I thought too.
Yep. And you could do it in it's not just campaign. You could do it in matchmaking again.
You can do it. It's just tough.
You mean,
like, you have to be lined up perfectly.
Oh, to do that in matchmaking, you know how hard that would be?
You have to get lucky.
Can you do it in custom?
No, it has to be matchmaking.
And it has to be matchmaking.
That sucks.
But that would be epic. If it happened in matchmaking, you're like, oh my god! Share this film.
Guess who's buying Bungie Pro?
Render this.
Render it again.
See? Recommend. Tag.
Yep.
Hashtag awesome.
Sauce. Awesome sauce.
So what do you guys think of the turret you had to keep on, like, activating?
That was weird. I mean, it was alright. That was an issue.
They were kind of useful, but it still seemed...
They were useful. I used them, but... Sucked having to keep them maintained.
See, I would have made an achievement to where, for on normal at least, you don't lose a single turret.
That would suck.
That would have been a good achievement.
It'd be better. It wouldn't be as glitchy as...
Oh, I did on my first run throughs on normal. I didn't lose a turret.
That'd probably be on legendary, though, that achievement, if they made it.
No way. No. No, those things would fall so quickly. You couldn't keep track of them all. The only way you'd be able to do that is if you had a full 4-player party.
Yeah, that'd be the only way to get it. You have to do it.
Which I think is stupid, unless it's something like a Vidmaster, which doesn't count any achievement points. But I don't know, I was thinking when I was playing through that, it's like, once I actually had all the turrets up, I'm like, I sure hope I get something for this, for keeping all the turrets up. And it's like, nope! Like an avatar helmet or a waypoint award of some kind, but nope. Nothing.
Avatar.
Now it's Korra, the last, actually, I don't know what the title of that new Avatar series is, but I know that the girl's named Korra, and she's the Avatar now.
The Legend of Korra.
Legend of Korra, there you go. Hey.
That could be good.
I was really into Avatar The Last Airbender.
Did you see the movie?
Avatar.
I didn't see the movie, no, because I don't hate myself.
I said if you like the series,
too much respect for the animated series to watch that movie.
It would still
the reason I'm gonna watch it.
If you like the series, you'll like the movie. There's some stupid dialogue, but it's still cool to see.
I don't know, dude.
I heard that was god awful.
No,
I don't even want to touch it.
I went and saw it. It was podcast. Good, man. I'm sorry. Can we make an Airbender
podcast? We should start a Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. Just watch the old DVDs all the time.
Welcome to Avacast.
If you loved Avatar, you will hate the movie. If you liked Avatar, then yeah, you might like
it. I loved Avatar, and I liked the movie. It was cool for me. After Dragon Ball Evolution, I needed a faithful adaptation. This was faithful.
The word god-awful that Brent just said is a spot-on review of the movie.
I don't know, 9 times out of 10 I've heard people say they didn't like it that
much. Oh, it got terrible reviews. Yeah, we're not the only ones.
I don't know, I liked it, but that's just because I hadn't seen any of the Last Airbender stuff before.
Yeah, you need to go watch that and then just go, wow, that movie was this animated series. See?
I think Airbender is faithful. Talk about like the most perfect trilogy story of anything.
It's awesome.
Avatar Airbender is the most perfect.
Yes, that is a story it's just ever amazing. Told. And that it was on Nickelodeon is amazing to me.
I had to go see the movie. I had to take my kids to see it because they like Avatar too. They got me into it, and they wanted to see the movie. They're 6, so they wanted to see the movie. So
right.
Otherwise, there was no way. I just knew it was Shyamalan and Ding Dong was going to make a mess of it.
I thought it was cool. I know it's not a good movie, but I thought it was cool just to see what the bending looks like and see the characters. Even the bending was really slow.
But that wasn't even that cool. It wasn't even that good. The CGI was kind of crap.
Yeah, like once you saw the trailer, you saw everything.
Well, right. Once I heard that the cast was like kind of whitewashed or whatever, I was like, "What?"
I didn't see the movie.
I was going to see it before I read reports that it was like super whitewashed and then it kind of sucked. I'm like,
it wasn't super whitewashed at all. Like it was just that each race
Well, at first they were like, Zuko is going to be played by Seth Green or something. It was weird. It was like, no.
No, he's going to be played by Zac Efron.
Sasha will be, or I don't even know. Sokka will be played by Sacha Baron Cohen. It'd be awesome.
No, mine wasn't a joke. He was going to be played by Zac Efron. Zuko.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. That would have been just terrible.
How did we get on Avatar from Halo?
Because Avatar is awesome. I'm sorry.
Well, we need to start
We're talking about the package. And yeah, picking up the Cortana splinter from Halsey. And really? The big debate behind how it's such an important discovery and possibly save humanity. So this is where the majority of the story happens, is this level, I think.
This is where you find out what the hell the Noble Six did that was so important.
Right. What was going on Reach, you know? What
was really happening?
Well, you know, it's nice that this pretty much what they tried to do make of a story for this game. So how do we, you know, of course we know what happens to Reach. We know it gets destroyed. We know some of the story. But how do you tell something within that Titanic-like story that's interesting?
Yeah.
And it sounds like we get to be the player that really
sets Halo in motion.
Sets Halo in motion, exactly. So what we do, or what Noble Team does, is set that motion.
Right.
Right there, and we see exactly how and why right there at the end. And that's what made it one of my favorite campaigns, that, like, how they did that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
That was a good, fun level, too. The design was nice.
Yes.
There are a lot of cool last stands.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think. The Halsey part was the last level, or the last point in that level, right?
Yes.
And then you got out. Okay. Just making sure I wasn't missing anything.
You got it.
And
yabba dabba doo.
You got it.
So there's only really two checkpoints in this game, right? The first one, the mission start, and then rally point alpha when you're in the cavern, I guess.
Yeah.
Because all the other maps have, like, multiple checkpoints. But, yeah, so that's pretty much the package.
We see Jun fly away with Halsey to Castle Base.
Yep.
So he lives.
Jun?
Right?
Well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the speculation, as I lived.
It's well, he's a Spartan left on Reach after it was destroyed, so.
He was
probably
left
assumed
on it?
MIA.
I thought he went with Halsey.
Yeah, but Halsey's presumed dead.
Yeah,
so
they think she's dead too. Yeah. Everybody's presumed dead.
Well,
so even if he's alive, he's presumed dead.
Or MIA is the spark.
We know Halsey lives.
Yeah, we know Halsey.
I wonder if Oni has like the secret database of Spartans who are actually dead and not just really missing in action.
Yeah.
It's like maybe they have a little asterisk next to their name. Actually dead.
Nah, who are we kidding? They're dead.
What's a smiley face mean? Oh, they're dead.
Oh, that means they're dead. They're not really missing in action. We just tell people that.
Why a smiley face? Oh.
Because it makes me happy.
It makes me happy to know that those guys who are better than me are dead. I'm smiling.
Let me ask you guys this. So you have Sword Base, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when they said, you know, they started going underground to, you know, with the Forerunner artifact, did you think that was gonna, we were gonna be going to Castle Base?
No.
Oh,
I kind of figured I'd have to get something to the Pillar of Autumn. I knew before the game even started that I would probably have to get something to the Pillar of Autumn, because they couldn't have a game where everybody just died for no reason, right? They had to have something to connect it to the rest of the series. So I kind of figured the only way you could connect Reach to the rest of the series is through the Pillar of Autumn, right?
Yep.
Right. So I figured we'd be going there eventually.
Right, well, I thought that when they were going down, you know, because we heard about Castle Base, you know, in the books a lot. You know, all this Oni talk in the game. I'm like, are we gonna be at Castle Base at one point in this
is that, movie? Is that where they made the Spartans?
Castle Base it's like a big bunker under the mountain.
Isn't that where they store all the Mjolnir suits?
Yes, it's where the Spartan training program was. It's where offices, Dr. Halsey's offices, and where the, you know, Ackerson's offices, and all the secrets are there. It's like, it's pretty much like, it's almost like Ani's real secret headquarters.
Area 51.
I was waiting for the Spartan training area the entire game.
Yes.
I was looking around for it, like, oh, it's got to be in the background somewhere. They got to put it in here. Oh, is that it? I got to the part with, like, there is a wooden pole, and I was freaking out. I was like, oh my god, this must be the pole from the book. They had, you had to climb up it and ring a bell. Look, everyone, it's the pole.
Way to go.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, that's what the, you know, that's what I thought when we were going underneath. As soon as we start going underground, I'm like, okay, we're in Oni's sword base. What's going to be, we're going to go underground somewhere. Where are we going? A castle base? And that's where I thought that's where Halsey was going to be. And there's her secret was going to be down there. So
yeah, that was me the entire time we were playing on Oni sword base. I was just going, this is where they made the Spartans. I'd walk up to like a copy machine. Did they use this to make Spartans?
This is where Spartans used to copy.
God, this is where they made Master Chief.
Think of the Xerox.
Oh,
if I start a Spartan group, I want it to be called Xerox Team.
Xerox Team.
Xerox 6, what's your location? I'm at the copy.
Making some capes.
By the water cooler.
Also, you're going to have to submit your W-2 by, like, 12 today. Get that in.
Oh.
That'd be a fun game.
This is going to be a three-part show.
Halo Bureaucracy?
Yeah, it is. Yep.
So, woo. Hey, maybe Chris will be in the third part.
Oni bureaucracy must suck, man. Think of all the shit they have to deal with. For real.
I got to put up with our shit.
Like, they have to know what's secret and what's not secret, what's fake, what's not fake. That's why they have the smiley face system.
I have a smiley face. If someone ever implements that, I am going to be just laughing my.
Like, just creepy little Oni smiley face. That'd actually be kind of cool. Like that means
superintendent, like a superintendent smiley face or something.
Yeah.
This
Spartan's dead. Yay.
I mean, Watchmen had the smiley face, and that was creepy.
Clean up the blood. Keep it clean. Yeah.
Keep it clean.
There's a question I want to ask before we finish this part.
Did the engineer from Halo ODST, Virgil, get a job at Oni? The answer is yes.
What?
They plugged that sucker in, Virgil.
I like to think that they gave him a job at Oni.
Should I just ask the question?
Go for it.
Yes, just do it.
Okay, I was going to ask, what is your favorite piece of Halo lore out of everything? Promotional, games, books, which one is your favorite of the
I don't know if I can answer that.
I don't
I could.
Piece of lore?
Yep. Piece of mine lore. Is I Love Bees.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. I remember that. I
still haven't seen that yet.
I gotta be honest, I hate those things.
Oh, you didn't like that?
Alternate reality games?
Yeah, I hate them.
I didn't like the game. I like the audio files. That was cool.
I hate them because I suck at them. Like,
yeah,
I can never
too.
Figure out puzzles.
play the game. I just went back and listened to the radio play like 3 years after it happened. I was like, oh, dude, this is really cool. And I put it on my iPod. It's a big file.
I need this stuff spelled out to me. I can't. that kind of stuff, I really didn't get it. Yeah, and I suck at them. I can't follow them.
Favorite piece of Halo lore?
Yeah.
That's a hard one. I mean, I guess for some people it would be the Noble Statue, but...
Oh, well, okay. What?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I say Pawtacular. Excellent community.
There you go.
We did contribute that smiley face thing to the lore, so...
Oh, yeah. Smiley faces on Oni documents.
Yep. My favorite book is Ghost of Onyx.
Still need to finish that.
I love Ghost of Onyx.
Favorite comic, I would say... Helljumper?
I haven't seen a lot of Halo comics. I've seen, like, Stunt Mutts... 117 when it was going, but that was like the only one I saw.
I like that story in the Halo graphic novel where
that
they
was
have
a good
that
one
yes. Spartan where they have the Spartan testing out Master Chief's new Mjolnir armor that he got in Halo 2.
Right.
Like right before he got it. Like they were testing it out. So they got, they got like a Spartan out of retirement or something because she was having a kid or she wanted to have a raise a family or something. She wasn't pregnant or anything, but they had her test out the new Mjolnir suit and she whipped some ODST. It was pretty cool.
Armor testing.
Yeah.
Maria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's her name.
Then there's actually.
Go ahead. Nope. You go ahead.
No.
I don't remember why I like that one that much. I think I just like the art style. But I also like the, you know, it fit in to the lore, you know. I mean, it was a little piece of lore. It was unimportant, but just knowing that that suit of armor would go on to help out the Chief in the events of Halos 2 and 3, you know, it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. It's cool, also, man.
The graphic novel also had Sergeant Johnson was a Spartan. What?
Yep. Sergeant Johnson. Oh, I have the Halo Encyclopedia, but I haven't looked through it yet.
You guys see that screenshot in Halo 3, the Kool-Aid one?
Kool-Aid.
No.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I think I've seen it before. Didn't they use, like, spawn point pieces from Forge to get, like, the red?
No, it was just Sergeant Johnson looking shocked. And it's just a caption that says, "You didn't just say we are the Kool-Aid."
I'm thinking of Pikachu. Never mind. Somebody made Pikachu.
Yes.
Pikachu?
Yeah, they did.
Yep.
That'd be cool. Wait, what were we talking about?
Pillar of Autumn.
Oh, yeah.
The last level. Well,
Mongoose. Kind
of last level. Yeah, there's the Mongoose run. And the achievement for if they came to hear me beg, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then you get to shoot off a bunch of pelicans. Or not pelicans. Banshees and Phantoms at the very end with the Mac Cannon.
That's a lame portion. I don't like that. I think it's a lame way to end a game like Reach, you know? You're just stationary, right?
I don't think it's a lame way. I think that how they did it was lame.
Yeah. I think you could have done something with the Mac Cannon that would have been cool, but they just didn't do it right.
Yeah.
Especially with the cutscene thing at the end. Like, I didn't need to be taken out of that, you know, with a 2-second long black screen and then see the carrier explode right after I did the action in-game.
Right.
Right, yeah, we talked about that.
You press the right trigger, and then it just goes into a cutscene.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that last whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last week. Yeah.
Still stupid.
It's a good point. I like that.
But, let's see, the Mongoose run was interesting. I actually get my Mongoose all the way up to the part where you encounter the Scarab. That's
The two Scarabs?
No, the one Scarab where Carter...
Oh, yeah.
Commit suicide.
Can you kill those scarabs? I never knew.
Nope.
What, the two ones that you drive by?
I didn't know if you
could. Well, you probably could.
I mean, yeah. If for real, can
you? I never tried.
Yeah, I just drive by that. I'm like, yeah, I'm out of here.
I mean, you're obviously supposed to drive by it. Even Carter says, screw those scarabs, keep going.
I know.
I don't know. That'd be interesting.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, we should do that right now, after the podcast.
I'm tired.
Scarabs.
I mean, I'll do it later, but...
I'm major grade 2 now, so... Like, just now.
I'm still...
You're qualified to take down Scarab.
I've been driving on Huge Hill Raceway this whole time. I've just been driving in circles.
Really?
Uh-huh. On Huge Hill Raceway.
Wow. So, anything else on Pillar of Autumn? You hand over the keys.
Oh, you get to see Master Chief at the end of that cutscene, don't you?
You do.
That's cool.
Easter egg.
Yep.
Not as canon. Got it
right.
They're saying it's not canon, it's just...
Well, he wasn't there then?
No. I don't get it. Like, I thought it was canon that he was in...
Yeah, he was canon. Yeah. He was already in Crisis. I mean, it might not be canon that he was sitting right there, but he was definitely on the ship in Cryo.
Well, I don't know. We have to... This is the thing. The timeline, when exactly...
he was in Cryo. He was in Cryo at that point.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. I'm 99% positive.
But there's that 1%.
Well, there's that 1% because I haven't read the book in 5 years.
I read after they take off, you know, after you pick up the package and they take off back into space, they don't make the jump right there. I believe they do a lot of stuff that you see in Reach. I mean, the fall of Reach after, I think. I don't know. I you know what? I have to
go back and read the book.
I have to go. Well, I've been in a Halopedia is trying to do a little timeline.
Oh yeah.
If you look up the Pillar of Autumn in Halopedia.
Yeah.
And it talks about what it did. You know, what exactly that ship was doing during the course of, you know, the book and hit Reach. I think it says, Chief was supposed, was off, wasn't even on the Pillar of Autumn. He was out and doing that space run.
No, he had to have been on there.
I gotta read it again. I don't remember.
Hmm.
Dead air.
I'm not sure. It also says on here that they think that the Spartan could be Linda.
What Spartan?
The one in the cryo chamber.
It's clearly it has to be Master Chief.
No, not necessarily.
It looks like him. I don't know. I think it's
Master Chief. Well, I mean,
that'd be weird.
It looks like his armor. But who's to say there weren't multiple variations of that armor line?
Right.
Yeah. I think it's Master Chief.
I mean, that's what I would say, but... And then at the end, you have your ending at right at the start of Halo 1, where you end up at Halo, where it all began. So we have come full circle in this adventure.
Was Linda in cryo on the Pillar of Autumn?
Yes.
She was? I don't remember. I need to reread those books.
She after the mission that they did up in space above Reach, they returned back to the Pillar of Autumn. The Chief did with Linda, you know, coma, whatever she was in. And she was left in cryo.
Until Halsey got a hold of her.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm reading it right now, but...
Huh. But yeah, and then there's the last level after the credits where it's Lone Wolf and you're basically fighting off waves of Covenant. Basically a mini firefight level.
Yeah.
You eventually take off enough damage to where you should die, but you keep on fighting.
Well, really, if you think about it, part of Long Night of Solace is really just a firefight match on Corvette.
Well,
when you're just sitting there taking out the enemies, waiting for the doors to open.
Yep.
All right, now you can go.
Yeah.
Go for it.
It's true.
I like on Lone Wolf that cracks that show in the helmet. That's really cool. The bullet holes and crap.
I just don't like how they're set in the same place every time you play it. It's like at least randomize it.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much wraps up our campaign analysis part.
Man, it has been one long night of solace.
It's been two. Oh. Yeah, it's been 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours of solace.
Yep.
This is 2.5 hours?
Yes.
Holy dildos.
You could cut out. You can cut out the whole. A lot of.
That whole airbender
cut
thing.
I keep telling Dustin what he needs to do is have me on a separate audio track, and if it ever gets too bad, just completely take me out of the podcast.
We should make a Last Airbender podcast. We could talk about that all day.
Oh man, yes.
Don't even you can't have
we
me
should
on
do, like a video podcast, like a secret, like underground video podcast, so that Viacom and Nickelodeon would never know. But we just stream it and we do like live commentary while we're watching all three seasons.
Like a
oh man. Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to have me on that.
Come to think of it, I probably need to watch that series over again now.
Me too.
Doesn't get good until they come meet Toph. I like Toph.
Toph's my favorite character.
Toph is the best. Blind I haven't heard anyone say Toph wasn't their favorite character.
Toph is pretty awesome.
Okay.
The episode where they introduced Toph is probably one of the best episodes.
I've got that on my 360, actually.
She should have taught Aang metal bending.
Oh yeah. Well, is he a powerful enough earthbender to really do that?
Should be. He's the Avatar.
I mean, he's kind of like the jack of all trades, master of none kind of guy. I mean, he's master of all, but at the same time, he's not super adept at any one type of bending.
He's supposed to be. He's supposed to be. If he had completed his training in all of them, he would have been strong as.
Well, yeah, but he was kind of.
He's mastered. He's mastered air bending.
Yeah,
he's probably a master of water, but earth and fire, he's not full master.
My sounds of disgust are me trying to get if they came back, by the
that's
way.
That's why I'm excited for Korra, because yeah. It's after all that happens, maybe you'll probably learn about what happened to Aang and everything. What happened to Aang could just be, he lived on to live a peaceful life.
They'll do flashbacks, you know, they're probably going to do flashbacks to what happened. Because none of the main characters are supposed to be...
one side character is supposed to be
alive. Well, they're all dead, aren't they?
To connect.
Everybody's supposed to be dead, yes.
And all like, the main characters.
It's been like 100 years or something.
Oh yeah, Aang's son teaches him airbending, or grandson or whatever.
No, son.
Son?
Yep.
Yeah, Aang's...
So
I always wondered
the last
that
airbender?
At the end of, I always wondered that at the end of Avatar, what's going to happen to the airbenders? Is his kid going to be a waterbender or an airbender? Is that whole set?
Well,
is he the last one?
People are talking if he doesn't have a kid or if he doesn't spawn, then the Avatar cycle would be broken.
I'm pretty sure they said that Katara and him had a kid.
Well, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
So they're. I like how they're doing it though. I like how they're not trying to rehash. Or keep the Aang story, you know.
I kind of wish they would have did what they were hinting at with Zuko. Remember, they were hinting that he was going to go look for his mother, but maybe there'll be a movie or something, like an animated movie.
Man, I hope so, because the movie sucked. Or the live-action movie? That's awful. I didn't even see it, and I can already tell you it sucks.
Isn't this like the fifth time we've brought up Avatar in this podcast?
Well, because it's a
Wait,
great
we're still podcasting?
Stuff.
Oh, I thought we stopped.
Yeah, I thought we stopped, and we were just talking about Avatar.
I'll stay up another 3 hours.
You got to at least do the outro part.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go.
Let's do outro.
Okay. Thanks, guys, for listening. This has been episode 237. We're going to split it up to a third part. This is the second one. So next time we'll focus strictly on your submissions. But thanks to Keith from The Running Riot and CM Near and Midget Dance from Halo Reach Tricks for coming along. For the ride, and we will see you guys in a few days with your submissions. Peace.
Yay.
See ya.
Yay.
Hey, Rander.